other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have a power-packed, information-packed radio transmission for you today on this Wednesday, the third day of September 2008. Coming up in 1 hour, spoken word artist, punk rock star, you name it, Henry Rollins will be joining us to talk about internet censorship, the New World Order, and much more. Then William Engledahl will be joining us, a global expert on U.S.-Russian relations, U.S.-NATO/Russian relations. He'll be joining us coming up today as well from Germany. We have Nick Bacchus from We Are Change Minnesota, who got pepper sprayed last night during the Rage Against the Machine free concert. The police basically attacked everybody. The police are certainly out of control and in the wrong in Minnesota. We just report the facts here. People were shocked when I went to Denver and pretty much said the police were professional and did a good job compared to other cities. Well, they're doing a horrible New World Order job in Minneapolis-St. Paul for the RNC, and that is just the fact. So they'll be joining us here in about 5 minutes. Speaking of Rage Against the Machine, last Wednesday I ran into Tom Morello. It's already been 7 days, and I just now had time to put the video together, and we posted it last night for PrisonPlanet.tv members. It has not been made public yet for PrisonPlanet.tv members. We're working on that right now. There's a bunch of other videos. The Jerome Corsi interview we did. The Ralph Nader interview we did, the video of that. The Cindy Sheehan behind-the-scenes interview that nobody's seen or heard. We got some little bit of Sean Penn stuff, and we got the Brolin information as well. And I've only got two guys, Rob Jacobson and Aaron Dykes. And I showed up this morning, and guess who was here all night? Guess who got here at 9 a.m. yesterday? And guess who was here this morning? Aaron Dykes. Because he's on the case. He ended up doing research and putting together. I said, yeah, take a few days, make a video exposing Michelle Malkin, how they set us up. He's done that. It's uploading to YouTube right now. The guy has been working for 26 hours straight. And I told him, I said, do not do this anymore. But he said, look, I can't help it. Once I started the investigation of this, it's more true than what we'd even said originally. We have them now. Now, there are hundreds of YouTube videos alone of Michelle Malkin, the confrontation, videos edited to make it sound like I'm saying killer, major setups. I'm asking you, when this goes live on YouTube in the next hour, to go absolutely ape with it. I don't want to go into details here, but Michelle Malkin's company has been calling, people associated with her have been calling affiliates I'm on, Genesis, MS, other outlets, and trying to get me kicked off the radio. Now, that's laughable that Genesis would do that, but who knows with MS. And, you know, I've been getting calls from executives, you know, did you say killer? The whole issue is, you know, did I say killer? Because, obviously, I would be a super loose cannon if I'm running around saying kill women in the streets, even though she says put us in camps and torture people. I guess you know, still, that's not proper. Well, I didn't say that. But their deception is quite thick. And I guess I'm going to have to sue Tom Davis, because that son of a bitch, excuse my language there, is still going on his radio show on WBAP. He fills in for Limbaugh, still saying, I said killer. People call in and say, but it isn't on the video. And he says, well, Alex edited that out. You know, Alex did say killer. Doesn't matter if the Dallas Morning News retracted it, removed it. You know, you got people nationally on the radio saying, I should kill this woman. And they mean depended on me. And so this video really exposes it A to Z from our cameras, other perspectives. And it's going live any minute now. But the next hour, it'll be up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Stay with us. Masses of news straight ahead. Just an unbelievably power-packed show.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to be talking to Nick Bodkins of We Are Change. He was at a Rage Against the Machine event and got pepper sprayed last night. Speaking of Rage Against the Machine, the Tom Morello interview, parts of it, it's coming up a little bit later in the shower. That I did last week with him, first time this is heard, where he talks about false flag terrorism. That's coming up near the end of this hour. We got Henry Rollins scheduled in the next hour after that. And then, of course, we got an expert joining us on the situation with Russia. William Ingehall, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. So that is coming up for you today. I'm really proud of Jesse Ventura. I knew behind the scenes that Ron Paul's got some mainline Republicans in his staff, which is fine. You know, they're kind of a libertarian bent, but they're scared to death of 9/11 truth. And I knew that Ventura had been encouraged not to talk about 9/11 truth. But that he'd said, look, I'll talk about whatever I want to talk about. And then he was still invited to the Rally for the Republic. And I never brought this out 3 weeks ago when I was... I guess 4 weeks ago when I was first aware of this, talking to Ventura and talking to others, it just came up. And he gets up last night and says, yesterday afternoon, and says, you know what, a lot of people don't want me to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it, 9/11. And I was talking to Ted Anderson that was in one of the VIP boxes because he's a sponsor of it, and he said the John Birchers were squirming in their chairs. Look, there's over 200 examples of false flag stage terrorism that are declassified. And 9/11 official story is a fairy tale. And if we don't grow some cojones in this country and start telling it like it is, we're going to lose this. You understand? They're going to set up a Soviet / Nazi style system. That's what the New World Order does. And they're going to drag you out of your middle class house and they're going to put you in a labor camp, bare minimum. Fox News is back out pushing that. These people killed over 200 million souls last century, so I'm not giving them any quarter. And I just love Jesse Ventura. I just absolutely love him. Israeli Mossad let Nazi Mengele get away. That's Associated Press. You know, I was criticized by the ADL for saying this more than a decade ago. I've been criticized by Southern Poverty Law Center. I have been criticized on national radio for claiming that Mossad protected top Nazis. Well, I just know it's mainline history, but you've got to read, you know, big, thick textbooks on the subject. It's admitted even in mainline history books. You see, the Zionists, there's really three different groups of Zionists, but the classic Zionists, the original Zionists, you know, founded in the last 150 years, they thought some guy was the Messiah and followed him. Then he died. He's supposed to be reincarnated. That happened over 100 years ago. They actually wanted to force the Jews out of Europe. And so they early on supported Hitler. And some of his top propagandists and people who were allowed to run synagogues in Berlin and art houses and movie houses right in the middle of it all were Zionists. And they would make Jews pay them million pound, in some cases, equivalent of $2 million today. We're talking tens of millions back then. You can go to the ratio. It's probably £2 million is probably in 1940s numbers today. I don't know. What was the pound worth then? We know many times what it is today. But regardless, a lot of money to get out of Germany. And they got laws passed, Zionist lobby. People always ask, why didn't Roosevelt let Jews into the U.S.? And why don't the Jewish groups criticize him for, predominantly the Zionist groups criticize him for not letting Jews into the U.S.? Well, it's because they were the ones lobbying to keep Jews out of the U.S. because they said in all these public writings, a cow in Palestine is worth more than 100 Jews. And there's other quotes of a dog in Palestine is worth more than 100 old Jews. Or, I mean, really... See, the Zionists were communist, anti-religious. They hated the Orthodox Jews. You're going, well, wait a minute. You just said they were founded by people that thought that this guy was a Messiah. It's weird. It all mixes together. And so they made sure the Jews couldn't get out of Europe. And yes, Hitler did kill a whole bunch of Jews and did take their property and did take their land and did take their homes. But he did that to Germans, too. In Dallas, my grandfather grew up next to a German who was a famous inventor. He invented air conditioning or some important form of it thereof. And they watched him have to sell his big house and basically become destitute because he had German family in Germany. And they took everything he had, threatening to kill his family in Germany. If this guy worth hundreds of millions then did not. And my my grandfather lived, you know, in the semi-German community of Dallas. By that, there were other folks living in the area, but kind of like Ron Paul came from a German community in Pittsburgh. Same thing in Dallas. And so my grandfather was in this community, being German, William Hammond. And I remember hearing those stories around the breakfast table when I was visiting my grandparents. They lived in Austin when I was growing up. About that. So, I mean, they were sucking the money. They were thugs, folks. You ever seen Gosford Park, you know, about the Germans, and the Germans are visiting, and all this intrigue's going on at the British Lord's house, and how they're assessing when he's out of the room which paintings they're going to take as soon as they took over England? I mean, that was exactly what the Nazis were doing. See, I exposed the Zionists, and I exposed the Nazis. Now, I forgot I have a guest holding, and I apologize. I looked at this headline here. Israeli Mossad let Nazi Mengele get away, Associated Press. And the notorious death camp doctor, but because he was CIA, they let him go. Well, yeah, Klaus Barbie ran the first cocaine and heroin shipments after World War II into the U.S. and trained the CIA. I mean, that's who runs our country. And I will be called evil for saying it's wrong to let Joseph Mengele go. The Nazis will hate me, and the Zionists will hate me. And so be it. I refuse to hate either group because of what race you are. All right, we now go to Nick with We Are Change. Vatican's, I believe. I keep mispronouncing his name. Nick, thank you for coming on with us. What happened to you last night?
Alex, it's good to be on. Well, last night we were at the Campaign for Liberty, and there was about eight of us with We Are Change. You know, we had the Ohio and the Colorado chapters up here. And we heard on the local radio station that Rage Against the Machine was going to do an impromptu concert at the end of a concert already going on at the state capitol. So we took half our team and rushed down there in time to get...
Now, let's be clear. There was already a permitted one, and they said, hey, we'll just add a Rage on for a few songs. And the police said, nada.
Right.
Nine.
From what it appeared to us, the permit lasted until 7, and they were going to start at about 6:15. And we got there at about 6. And as soon as the last performer was on, they cut the power to the stage. The state patrol padlocked the generators to the stage, and then they said Rage couldn't play, blocked him from getting on the stage. Anthony was right in the heat of that, getting the footage of the cops telling him they couldn't play. And
that's Anthony Yasha with We Are Change Minnesota.
Yep. And so they ended up going in front of the crowd off the stage after not letting them play, and singing through a megaphone to the crowd. And then, of course, everyone was upset through this whole thing, knowing that the police weren't letting them play. And so, instead of...
a clear police provocation. In Denver, they wouldn't have done that. Everywhere else, they act like this. Well, you've got to get this footage up at Minnesota Change as soon as possible. I bet this is amazing footage.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm really wishing I would have gone to Minnesota now, but you know, I can't just completely never be with my family. But
so then... instead of it being an impromptu concert, it turned into an impromptu rally going down to the Xcel Energy Center. And everyone was peaceful through the protest, but St. Paul requires permits to be there.
That's right. First Amendment. Now, again, a permit is a right to do something that would be illegal. And so you're demonstrating is illegal in America. Go ahead.
And made it through to the Xcel Energy Center. Then there were reports of some people getting... tear gas or pepper sprayed back two blocks from where we were. So the whole crowd ran back that way. And as far as we could tell, nothing had happened yet. It was just a rumor. And the police were giving dispersal orders as the crowd was walking through. And there was obviously some people just standing there trying to, you know, just, you know, protesting. And we got the footage of all this. Here we got Anthony and Jeremiah right on the police line watching the police officer pull the pin on the tear gas, throw it into the crowd. And after they gave a dispersal order, and basically it was just crazy. Everyone started running around. Some people were just standing right in the thick of it, taking all that tear gas.
And how did it all end?
Well, some people regrouped at the Capitol. I think some people were doing some smaller mini marches afterwards, but we don't have any footage of that. Pretty much ended after the police moved in, said you can't be protesting and tear gassed everybody.
Were the police able to get their mitts on Tom Morello and crew?
I don't think anyone was arrested, so I think it was just they just wanted us to disperse, or they wanted the group to disperse.
Yeah, can't let the slaves gather. First Amendment says the slaves can gather. That would be free men. Slaves are not allowed to gather in the plantation. Got to be broken up by their minders in black uniforms. Anything else you'd like to add, Nick?
Yeah, we'll have the footage.
Stay there.
There.
Stay there. We're going to be right back. We Are Change Minnesota. Nick, was something else you were going to add about what you saw last night with the police?
Yeah, it was just the footage that we get up will speak for itself. I mean, just unprovoked attack by police. They tear gassed the crowd just at when they were expressing a First Amendment right. Nobody that we saw or recorded was doing anything outrageous or to provoke the police. It was a peaceful protest that happened just because they canceled the Rage Against the Machine concert. So we'll have the footage up shortly, and we'll have it up on mnchange.org.
Awesome. And for ease of access, folks, you better believe it'll be up on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com as soon as possible. In fact, as soon as we can see this video, and I've already seen some news reports about it, we'll write a blurb to break down. This is pretty big news that this happened. Thank you so much, Nick. Continue to give us reports as things develop.
Yeah, we'll do, Alex.
Appreciate it. Take care. It's very simple. When you have 90% of the American people wanting to control the borders and both parties say no, you have tyranny. When you have upwards of 80% of the American people not wanting any gun control and the Bill of Rights says don't have it, victim disarmament, but the government still does it, you have tyranny. When you have close to 80% being against the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, but it intensifies and expands year after year, you have tyranny. And so the establishment knows the majority of people are against the government. The government's illegitimate. It's criminal. And so they're going to go out and try to have a chilling effect and intimidate people not to demonstrate, not to protest. And at any provocation, they're going to open fire with rubber bullets, sound cannons, microwave guns, pepper spray, mace, helicopter shining lights on you, police beating you with an inch of your life, being tasered. They're going to hang up signs saying electroshock use in this area, you know, inside their little FEMA camps. This is about a message of stay in your house, shut up, and take what we're going to do. Federal handbooks over a decade ago we ran across said the black uniforms, the black mask are for intimidation. And they talk about how when an officer then wears that outfit, they take on that archetype. And then now police chiefs openly admit, yeah, we wear black to intimidate you. This is a rogue government that is completely and totally out of control, doing what it wants, when it wants. And the fact that I would be, oh, so happy the police, you know, they didn't provocateur, they didn't attack women with billy clubs in Denver. I mean, they did run over and threaten us to turn our cameras off once, but we stood up and then they backed off. They were only rude. It's their wonderful, oh, I love them. You know, people are all mad at me going, why are you defending them? What, have you sold out to them? No, I'm just like, I actually saw cops opening doors for people. I saw some police smile at us and wave at us. I had some cops say, keep it up, Alex. And I saw them put up with a lot of baloney from some of the anarchists that were rushing them and trying to provocate and throwing things at them. I saw manly restraint, which then allowed the First Amendment to flourish and didn't stall out. I'm seeing the opposite in Minnesota. It is shameful. It is despicable. It is un-American. It is wrong. I mean, you try going to New York and having cops walk up to you and go, listen to me, boy. You turn your camera off and you get out of here or I'll arrest you. Now, why are you here? Well, I'm here to... I told you not to talk! I got them on tape doing that. And then grabbing me and putting me in handcuffs and putting them on and grunting with enjoyment, smashing them down on my wrist. I mean, that's evil, folks, enjoying hurting some innocent person. Just like they arrested AP reporters, two of them, they arrested the very passive Democracy Now people. And then she just walks over and asks, where are my people? I want to talk to your supervisor, politely. Boom, they grab her. They charge him with felonies, taking part in a riot and assaulting police officers. They've charged members, anchors of Democracy Now. And lo and behold, there's video of them doing nothing, literally waddling around with their video cameras covering an event. But see, it isn't just that they arrested them falsely. You have charged them, and you're up against a multi-million dollar international media company, and you're going to get your butts kicked. Just like Amy Goodman talks about in the clip we've got, New York has paid out over $200 million just from the RNC in 2004. Cops, you're going to lose your jobs. The feds don't care. They're just going to hire more. But you're going to lose your job. The new film I produced that Jason Burmes directed, Fabled Enemies, is available for purchase on DVD. The film is now officially released, Infowars.com. To order a hard copy of the film, you can get it as low as $9.95 when you get it with some of the other videos. It really is a premier 9/11 film. It gets into who carried out the attacks, how the intelligence agencies nexused in together, how they all came together as a nexus. You know, when you first see the film, it starts out from the perspective of the official story, saying, oh, well, we're told these hijackers did this. Some people watch the first 5 minutes and are like, what in the world? This is saying they were really hijackers? No. It goes with the official story and then shows how that's impossible and really breaks it down in a way that no other film has done. So again, ladies and gentlemen, Fabled Enemies, available at Infowars.com right now. You can also call toll-free to get the DVD, 888-253-3139. You can also write to me at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Hours of video is being uploaded right now. In fact, a bunch of it's about to go live from Denver. Exclusive interviews with Cindy Sheehan, Tom Morello, so many others, Jerome Corsi. It's all going live in super high quality at prisonplanet.tv. Your eyes are worth it. You know, If you're going to spend the time watching these videos, getting information, sharing them with others, why not have the high quality? Now, people say, why don't you give all this away for free? Well, we actually do. We actually link to, on the page to YouTube and Google versions of our films. And believe me, it decimates our sales. Our goal is to reach more people. That's why we post it on the site, because the goal is to reach more people. But at the same time, if you have 15 cents a day or $5.95 a month, or even less if you get a yearly membership, why not get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership and then download it, burn it to disk, download it in DivX form, Flash, Windows, QuickTime. I mean, why not? Because we certainly can't give people high-quality bandwidth for free. It cost me, bandwidth alone is now running me $20,000 a month. And the sponsorship money comes in, the videotape money comes in, and I literally throw it like coal into a steam engine's furnace. I mean, it comes in and it gets thrown right back into that engine. There's a lot of people who have internet radio shows with 15 listeners who marvel and say, how come Alex Jones has sponsors? How come he sells videos? Because I actually have employees. We actually pay for bandwidth. I actually am on shortwave and satellite, and I actually, you know, have an electric bill here. So all of you that have been PrisonPlanet.tv members, you make so much of what we do possible. So I can have four full-time writers and webmasters so they can at least live above the poverty level. All of that makes what we do here possible. So I thank you for all of your support, and we, in turn, work as hard as we can for you. But please, to support us, to support Jason Burness, please get Fabled Enemies. But the first, it's because it's an excellent film and informative and needs to be seen. And independent filmmaking needs to be supported. And filmmaking that has this type of courage needs to be supported. But the main reason is it's waking people up. Secondarily, it is supporting our operation. So Fabled Enemies is out. See it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv or Infowars.com. You can link through there and watch it, or get the DVD at Infowars.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. On the subject of the police state, there's no doubt the police are engaged in the provocations. One group of anarchists, after they were blocked from protesting, did smash some windows and turn some things over. Of course, Fox News was on hand for that. And those groups are foundation-funded and have now been used as a pretext to crack down on everyone. This is shameful, and before you roll your eyes, police and military have been caught in Canada, in England, in Australia, in Italy, in Russia, in the U.S., staging provocateur actions. This is mainstream news. And there is no doubt that we have, at the bare minimum, foundation anarchists. You have three types: real anarchists, foundation anarchists that go out and stir up trouble, who are inadvertently funded by the government and don't know it, and then cops dressed as anarchists attacking other police. But I wanted to play some of Democracy Now! A couple nights ago, right after she got out of jail. Her people were still in jail. They are charged with felonies for being part of a public riot and assaulting police. So this is on video, not touching cops and being grabbed. These are anchors of international television. And the cops just dispense a frame-up, dispense a false witness, dispense a serious crime, a serious sin. I mean, when you've got the government, the authorities, the officials, making stuff up out of hand, come up to We Are Change, it's in Truth Rising, and saying, we're going to say you got bombs. We know you don't have bombs, we know you're not terrorists, but you're going to go to jail for being terrorists. Now scram. Let's go ahead and roll some of Democracy Now!
I'm Malia Brooker. You're watching Free Speech TV, and we are here with Amy Goodman, who was recently released. Tell us what happened with you and the other Democracy Now! Producers.
Well, Malia, I was arrested a few hours ago. I was actually on the convention floor talking to delegates at the Republican National Convention from Minnesota and Alaska, because Sarah Palin, the governor, has been nominated to be vice president. And I got a call on my cell phone that two of our producers, Shreve Hodokadus and Nicole Salazar, had been arrested. So Rick Rowley, the videographer, and I raced down through the St. Paul streets to try to make sure that they would be released. And when I went up to the police officer and asked to speak to the commanding officer, they arrested me. They put me in handcuffs behind my back. They forced me down on the ground. Although I had all of my ID, you know, to get me onto the floor of the convention, you need top security ID. I had my Democracy Now! ID very clearly marked, and I had all of my identification. They took that from me. The Secret Service took my security ID for the convention, and they arrested me. They took everything from me. They brought me to the jail, which are, they have these pens inside the police garage where we are put. But Nicole Salazar and Sharif Abdelkaddous have gone to prison. They've been jailed to the, and we need to make sure that they get out. They say they're charging them with a felony with PC riot, which is probable cause riot. They are allowed to be held for 36 hours without charge. That would start at midnight tonight because it's Labor Day, which would be mean they would get out on Wednesday. This is unacceptable. We are there reporting what is happening. It has been, there were major peaceful protests today in St. Paul. We're covering all of them. We come from New York, where the police have paid out hundreds of millions of dollars as a result of the kind of activity that we're seeing some of here after the Republican National Convention in 2004, when police just round up people wholesale. Sharif Abdelkaddous and Nicole Salazar heard a commotion downstairs by 7th and Jackson here in St. Paul. Nicole had her camera. Sharif was with her. They were fully identified. When they saw the police converging from three places, it happened very quickly. Nicole said to one of the officers, "How do I leave?" They told her to go back. But before she could do this, and the video she has of this is very dramatic, they pushed her to the ground. They dragged her by her leg. She was scratched on her face, trying to keep her face up as they were dragging her. She got a bloody nose. When I was arrested and I was demanding to be able to see our producer, to see Sharif Abdelkaddous and Nicole Salazar, I said, "She has a bloody nose. I demand to see her." He said, "Listen, what's a bloody nose? I was knifed." I said, "Sir, we were not responsible for that," meaning he was talking about a whole other time in his life. I said, "I am sorry that at some point in your life you were hurt like that, but that does not justify doing this to our reporter, to our producer. This is unacceptable. Reporters are the eyes and ears of the community. We cannot be threatened. We mustn't be jailed. There is a reason why our profession is the only one explicitly protected by the U.S. Constitution. We're supposed to be a check and balance on those in power. And there is no more important time than now. Nicole and Sharif have to be freed. The police chief must be called. They've got to get out of jail now. This kind of oppression has to stop. We have to be able to report to ensure that we live in a democratic society."
Now,
Democracy Now!, of course, has been coming.
Now, in Denver, an ABC News reporter was filming fat cat Democrats meeting with robber barons, big corporate chiefs, Democratic governors, senators, and they ordered the camera taken, even though he was standing out on the street, and the cops beat the daylights out of him. I mean, the cops have a hotel director or some senator tell them, "Attack that man." Most of them do it. They follow orders. It's a gang mentality. And they beat the daylights out of him, choke him, slam his head in the ground. And the neocon blogs like Hot Air and others said, "This is horrible. This is because he was a Republican." And he wasn't a Republican. They said they make it all left-right. But then when Democracy Now! Got attacked, Hot Air and others were like, "Oh, this is great. This is good." And I saw some of the other neocon blogs, you know, "She deserves it. She's un-American." See, that's the difference between this show and neocon or liberal shows. When the Democrats do something bad, we expose it. When the Republicans do something bad, we expose it. We don't have this ideological blinders or glasses that distort what we're looking at. Does that mean we see everything perfectly clear? No. But we start from the perspective of standing back and really just objectively. And that's why you'll get me on air sometimes saying the cops were pretty good in Denver. People are like, "What?" Because if it's the facts, I will report the facts. And what happened in Minneapolis, St. Paul, to her people and to her with Democracy Now! Is unbelievably bad. And you know what? I'm defending her, even though I saw her at the Ralph Nader event, and she pushed past me, was like, Alex Jones, no way I'm talking to you, and, you know, ran off. Well, that's okay. You don't give me access. That's fine. I'm still going to report the facts of what happened to you. Do I like the Democracy Now lady? And she got beat up in East Timor. You know, she's got more will than most men. She got beat up bad over there years ago covering things. That's kind of how she made her bones, as they say. But to have the bigger issue here is that we have the police beating up her people and then falsely charging them. I mean, that's a big issue. You have to ask yourself, why do they do it publicly? You see, that's when corruption's really bad, when the police don't even hide that they're framing you. When the government starts framing people, that is the worst form of tyranny. That is just outrageous. It's dangerous. It's horrible. And I've seen Austin police lie. I've seen them come over and say right in front of the cameras, we're going to arrest you if you don't stop demonstrating on the sidewalk. And then the press comes over and says, I'm yelling on the bullhorn. The police just threatened to arrest me, and, you know, we don't leave. And the report comes over and says, is that true? I said, well, of course it's true. Goes over to the head cop and says, did you threaten to arrest them if they don't leave? And he says, no, Alex is lying. And then I ended up showing the reporter, backing the tape up, and showing the reporter what he really said. And the reporter was stunned from a San Antonio paper. He couldn't. That was a wake-up for him. He's like, that cop, this commander just lied. Well, of course he just lied. And then he loses all respect. I am not going to kiss his hind end. I am not going to sit there when he tried to bully my First Amendment. And believe me, I don't like going up against these guys. You don't think I don't know they won't taser me to death in the back of the car? You don't think I don't know they'll set me up and come raid my house and plant drugs on me? You think I enjoy fighting these evil, powerful people? No, I do it because I have to, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's talk about somebody who's got a lot of courage. Here's Jesse Ventura yesterday talking about how people didn't want him to talk about 9/11 being an inside job, but he did it anyways at the Rally for the Republic. And, hey, I can support Ron Paul and them, even though they shy away from this. I don't expect them to buy into everything we say or do, but they invited Jesse and encouraged him not to talk about it, and he did. So here it is.
I'm going to go on to another subject that a lot of people don't want to discuss today. I know when I discuss it, it's amazing. I get attacked. And that's called something called 9/11. Why is it that when you ask questions about 9/11, it's off out of bounds? Well, I got news for you. When I was going through underwater demolition SEAL training, when I got to the demolition phase, I had a chief warrant officer who taught me that there is no dumb question. That if you don't understand something, you are not out of line for asking a question. And I think that when you ask that question, you have every right and deserve to get an honest answer. Well, here's my question that I want you all to, two questions I want you to think about today. Number one, why has the United States Department of Justice not charged Osama bin Laden for 9/11? Now, they charged him when he blew up our embassy in Africa in 98. Why the biggest terrorism act in history have they failed to officially charge him for? Why have they not convened a grand jury, presented their evidence, and got an indictment? Second, go to the internet and go to the FBI website. And go to their international list of top 10 terrorists. You will see bin Laden there. Bring his name up and his picture. Amazingly, all the charges, the embassy of 98 and all this other stuff is all listed. but ironically, nothing on 9/11. Nothing. Now, when the FBI was pressed as to why 9/11 wasn't included, their response was, we don't have enough evidence. Now, people, if you're like me, that is extremely disturbing. We've fought two wars, we've changed our entire foreign policy, and we've had the Patriot Act put on us, all supposedly because of Osama bin Laden. Well, I think we should have to charge. Aren't you innocent in this country until proven guilty?
We're going to come back and finish up the end of this. We'll come back and finish the end of this. And I'll play part of the Tom Morello interview. Play a little bit more of it later. Supposedly going to have Henry Rollins on in about 10 minutes. And we've got a top foreign policy expert on the Russia-U.S. split. It's all coming up. Stay with us.
Now, people, if you're like me, that is extremely disturbing. We've fought two wars, we've changed our entire foreign policy, and we've had the Patriot Act put on us, all supposedly because of Osama bin Laden. Well, I think we should have to charge. Aren't you innocent in this country until proven guilty? Well, as distasteful as that is, he deserves the same thing. He needs to be charged. Why is he not charged if he did it? I'm down to 4 minutes. They got the clock timer here, so we'll start winding it up. No. But again, I leave you with those two thoughts to think about. To think about a moment. Why has that not happened? Why did we have a president who stonewalled any investigation of 9/11 for over 2 years? Well, all I'm saying is that the truth lies with us, ladies and gentlemen.
The truth lies with us. Let's go ahead and play part. We'll play more later of Tom Morello, one of the founders of Rage Against the Machine, who we had a chance to talk to behind the stage, backstage, last Wednesday night at a Ralph Nader rally that had more than 5,000 people at, I think, about 8,000. Here it is.
I'm Tom Morello. They call me the Night Watch. I think that, it's when people speak of, when the media speaks of terrorism, it tends to be in the context of sort of lone bandits from Middle Eastern countries, where most of the terrorism that actually occurs in the world is government sponsored, whether it's the Bush administration or the Putin administration. Terror is something that's not that familiar to the government. Just because they have Humvees and satellite tracking doesn't mean that it's not terrorism. The results are often the same. So it's nothing new that governments will, from Gulf of Tonkin to the Maine in the Spanish-American War. It's embedded, unfortunately, in the DNA of American politics. And that really it's that kind of, we'll do anything to get what we want at the end of whatever imperialist objective we have at the end of the day. I'm here tonight to support the Open the Debates event, and because it's very hard to say no to Ralph Nader when he calls you on your cell phone and says, I'd like you to come play my event. I've always supported Ralph's politics as someone who's been able to take to expand the goalposts and add ideas to political discourse that are ones that are not normally found in the Republican or the Democratic parties. And even though my girlfriend said to me, that Ralph Nader, he's trouble. Don't play that thing. I was like, you know what? He's trouble, and that's why I love Ralph Nader. So I've been trouble myself for much of my life. So I'm very happy to come here and support this Open the Debates event and continue to pressure for issues that are very important to me, which are social and economic justice, ending the war, an environmental policy that is sane. The thing I appreciate about Ralph is that he's uncomfortable. compromise, unlike most politicians. I worked for 2 years as Senator, U.S. Senator Alan Cranston's scheduling secretary. He was about as progressive a member of the U.S. Senate as ever existed. But 80% of the time I spent with him, he was on the phone asking rich guys for money. So, you know, a lot of times, if you want to find the criminal, just follow the pipeline. And Ralph has never been on the pipeline.
All right, we've got some more of that. The video is going to be going up live on PrisonPlanet.tv for members. But I've been waiting a day for this to happen. It'll be up there in high quality for you. We're just going live with the YouTube for everybody right now. We'll just do it ourselves. Some deal with our CDN. Holding it up. Also, the Michelle Malkin expose. The Michelle Malkin hoax is being exposed. That just went live on YouTube. I need your help getting that out to everybody. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got more of that interview I did with Tom Morello coming up later in the broadcast today for Rage Against the Machine. We bumped into at the DNC last week, just now airing that here. But for the next 30 minutes, Henry Rollins, I guess it's Rockstar Day here on the show. Henry Rollins, I remember being a little teenager listening to Black Flag and stuff like that. Of course, he has the Henry Rollins Band. And a lot of you know who he is. Some of you out there with a very diverse audience might not know who he is. But we'll give out some of the websites and tell you about his tour that is going around the country and the world right now. But I wanted to get his take on web censorship, how they're trying to censor and shut down the web. He's really been fighting against that, and I agree with him there. His kind of complex and nuanced view on terrorism, the police state. We'll be talking to him here in the next 30 minutes. Henry Rollins, thanks for coming on with us.
Oh, fine. Let's talk about my nuanced and complex view on terrorism.
You want to get into that first?
Well, I don't how my nuanced or complex.
Well, I'm trying to say it that way because I haven't had too much time to fully constantly follow what you're doing, but every few months I see something you've said or done, and it seems diverse. I don't want to say contradictory, and so by that I meant you can actually flesh it out for us.
Okay. Well, what's the point that sticks with you?
You know, again, over the years, I know people's views change, too, and kind of go through changes, and so... I mean, tell us your view on the police state versus terrorism, kind of the whole New World Order, Henry.
The police state in America?
Yes.
The amelioration of civil liberties?
Yes.
Well, I think it's part and parcel with the Bush administration, and I think a lot of it doesn't do anything to combat terrorism domestically or outside of America. The fact that the Washington Post had to brief America that Homeland Security finds it okay to detain your electronic media, your laptop or anything, your iPod, when you come into an airport in America, a foreigner or an American citizen, and they can take your laptop or whatever and download the information, distribute the information to all the intelligence agencies at an off-site location, and hold on to that information and your computer or anything else for as long as they feel. Enough Europeans complained that finally the Washington Post broke this story. A lot of Americans, myself included, did not know that they could do that. I don't know how taking my laptop away from me is going to stop the anger that is engendered by people in the world when we go into their countries and push them around. And so checking my laptop or reading my email or being able to tap my phones easily, I don't know what that is, how that's going to help ease down terror in Saudi Arabia or, you know, anger felt in Egypt or Morocco.
Well, we know it isn't, but it's going to allow the military-industrial complex to train the American people. They have no liberties or freedoms and condition right. us to line up and put our hands up and have no Fourth Amendment.
Right, and that's too bad because a lot of Americans will start to think The thing I really hate is when someone says, well, I've got nothing to hide. Well, that's not really the point. When you say you have nothing to hide, basically, you've just basically cowed and caved into this. And I think a review is in order.
But meanwhile, the national security state is becoming more secretive than ever. They've made it national security where they can dump toxic waste and we can't know.
Right. And again, you know, this is just, if you're into big business, if you really need the rails greased to get things going, and you don't want government in the way of pushing things through, and one of the ways you kind of clear the path is to scare the living hell out of people. And when the going gets rough, the average get conservative, and that's the story of America. And a lot of Americans who hate this country or can't stand that country, they get their information from Sean Hannity, yet they can't find this place on a map, nor can they program their own VCRs. And these are the people who want assault rifles.
All right, Henry Rollins, stay there. We're going to be back in three quick minutes to talk more with this very interesting individual. Punk, alternative rock, punk rock, heavy metal, noise rock, spoken word, musician, singer, songwriter, actor, stand-up comedian, author, and the list goes on and on, radio talk show host. He is Henry Rollins. We were getting into his views on the whole police state and what's happening, and we were going over the fact that having you line up and have them kidnap your laptop without a warrant, that's all part of setting the precedent that there is no Bill of Rights or Constitution, and using the threat of terrorism as a pretext. Henry, what do you think about government-sponsored terrorism, like Gulf of Tonkin, or the Reichstag, or the USS Liberty, or the Maine, Operation Gladio, Operation Cyclone? I mean, I'm not defending the Soviets, but it's been now declassified that the U.S. actually funded the Muslims, Mujahideen, to attack the Russians first to get them to come into Afghanistan. Zbigniew Brzezinski just published a book last year bragging about that. I mean, your take basically on that whole angle of society.
I think it's basically all the same thing. It's business. It's why Kennedy got a bullet, because he's getting in the way of business. He didn't want the Vietnam War, and so he had to die. Gulf of Tonkin was our entrance into that conflict because it's a payday. So is Pearl Harbor. It was our gateway into World War II, a payday. And that's what we do. That's what this country does. We're the largest seller of arms in the world. And now that the thing in Iraq has the threat of cooling down in 2011, the powers that be are reheating the Cold War so we can just keep fighting somebody. Peace threatens these people. And
they have such contempt for the American people that they tell us on the news that Russia snuck attacked Georgia when it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, well, we need to fight people. And you know, one of the things we do when we induct a country into NATO is we sell them a bunch of weapons. The Russians know this. That's why they're angry. Because basically we're going to sell them, AR-15s, and they're not going to have Kalashnikovs. And so it's never hearts and minds. It's never the threat of communism or the spread of peace. It's business. It's always business. It always has been business. And with this administration, the Bush administration, it's never been so naked and in your face. And the way to make millions of Americans kind of lay down and take it, like I said, you soften them by scaring the hell out of them. And they, a lot of them who don't read between the lines, who don't question authority, will submit. Others are, someone like me is a bit more obstreperous and kind of in the way of that, because I'm going, nah, I don't think so. And George W. Bush has become my travel agent. When he rattles his sabers at a country, I get a visa, I book a ticket, and I go. And last year, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Pakistan. I went to all those places, had a great time. I was in Pakistan when Benazir Bhutto was assassinated, which was extremely intense.
And again, they think we're idiots. They machine gun her in front of everyone and then say she bumped her head.
Yeah, well, they just assume that no one has the internet, no one checks YouTube, that no one fact checks their stuff. I mean, what these guys say is like they think no one's minding the store. And they, I see why they think that, because you see CNN and MSNBC and certainly Fox News basically clearing the way for them. Because corporate media also has a bottom line, money. They do business. And if you get in the way of business, you know, Palmolive and other companies pull their ads, and you know, Roger Ailes isn't going to have that. Rupert Murdoch isn't going to have that. And even the sissies over at CNN aren't going to have that.
So killing is our business, and business is good. And would you say the U.S. has been the best at doing business?
Yeah, we're very good at it. And when there's no war, we'll start one. We go out of our way to sell you something so you can shoot someone else. And this has to change. I don't know how much more ordnance needs to be dropped on a country. So in Laos, there's like three or four pieces of ordnance still unexploded or undiscovered per person in that country. That's no way to live. And you know, we're part of that history.
Oh, and there's no doubt in that. That whole war was started, as you said, with a staged event.
Yeah, well, because it's business. And it's what you do with a bunch of humans. You fight. You have them fight each other, and you derive money from that. And I think there's ways for everyone to get paid when you don't need the guns.
Well, I want to talk about those ways.
There's lots of ways where people can all eat and get along, and you don't have to have a war to make your money.
Henry Rollins is our guest. Henry, fire out some of the websites for people to visit, because we're on in places like Austin, Texas, and places like Buffalo, New York, and St. Louis.
Well, I'm easily found at henryrollins.com. I mean, I'm easy to access there.
henryrollins.com, ladies and gentlemen, and you can link through there and find out tour dates. Now, they won't just be hearing music here. You also do spoken word.
Yeah, I do a lot of talking shows. I mean, that's the kind of shows I've been doing for quite a while. And all this year, I've just been doing speaking dates all over the world and doing a lot of. I shot 5 documentaries this year, and they're going to be coming out some this year, some next year. And those trips were, you know, really eye-opening. I shot in Burma a few weeks ago, shot in Thailand, South Africa, Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, and Northern Ireland. And all those trips were really informative. You know, when you get out there in these parts of the world, you can see, you know, learn quite a bit.
You've got one hell of a wanderlust, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, the world is interesting to me, and I have the means. I mean, I can get out there and go, and so I do it. And that's what informs my opinions and, you know, what I do on stage, what I write, what I photograph. And I read. I mean, you read. I mean, everyone is, you know, likes to read books, and I'm a fairly voracious reader, but
well, that's the problem. Everybody actually doesn't, as you know.
Well, it's true, but you know, I think people who listen to your show or you want to know, so you
sure.
Crack a book open and you read it. Yeah, a lot of Americans don't read, and they don't read enough, and hopefully that changes. But
no, I get what you're saying. You're saying we read.
Well, the point is, I try and read a lot, and never have I had a book have the same impact on me. Like, a book about a country is never as relevant as my trip to that country. And so basically, knowledge without mileage is a bunch of bull to me. It doesn't
really
matter. Oh, I
agree. You've got to actually go out and verify and see if that perspective you saw in the book was accurate. And a lot of times you'll find the book was somewhat accurate, but it was their perspective, their lens.
Well yeah. And so I kind of like the Indiana Jones version of things, where you just kind of get in there and, you know, you walk through it and you see what happens. And I do that in Central Asia, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, on my own every year.
So how many countries do you visit a year on average?
It depends. Between 5 and 20-some. This year has been, all of Europe, well, a lot of Europe, Scandinavia, the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, and then the aforementioned countries.
Where do you see our future going in this nation? I see it as an empire teetering on the brink of collapse, the dollar devalued, both parties incredibly decadent and delusional, the lies have never been more blatant. I see that as a desperation move. I mean, A, do you agree with that? And B, where do you see the future of this nation?
Well, I agree with what you said, but I'm optimistic in that I think America is going to have to hit a very hard bottom line. I mean, we're going to have to fall on our collective butts very hard. And it's like a cocaine addict. It might take another $1 million worth of coke for this person to find out that coke is not the answer. And so maybe another million foreclosures. And finally, even Kudlow and company will have to admit that all is not well in America. And so maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe it's going to take more countries in the world just basically starting embargoes on America. Just like, no, you scare us. We don't want to play with you anymore. Maybe it'll take the whole world just convening some kind of court and slapping us on the wrist and saying, wake up already. I don't know. But I do think that there's enough positive, progressive people in America who are into things like the reality of global warming and the fact that we can pursue alternative fuel sources, that we don't have to drill ourselves out of every possible energy shortage. And I think that will eventually prevail because there will be no real way to sustain these fake wars. I mean, the war in Iraq, the invasion and occupation of Iraq, is quite unsustainable. There's just not the money or the manpower. I mean, I don't know where they're going to grow these
But that
people.
Shows the delusional aspect in Vietnam one tour, World War II one tour. There's guys starting their fifth tour, and they're completely, you know, 18 times the record suicides previous, like
yeah.
you said. But it's not just that it's unsustainable. It seems like the elite have literally, I mean, we had evil elites before, but they were somewhat realist. It seems there's a delusion or a megalomania.
Yeah, well, I think you have a handful of crazy people. You know, those who used to get laughed at in D.C., like, you know, the eight neoconservatives. And back years ago, people go like, look at those guys. Look at that guy Wolfowitz. What a trembling maniac that dude is. Well, all of those guys got in. And you know, they waited on the sidelines through a lot of the Bush administration, certainly through the Clinton administration, and they got their game together, like Project for New American Century and all that. They did not sleep. They planned very well.
Trembling maniac. I'm stealing that.
It's all yours. And soon as they had their moment, they jumped in, and here we are with no money. They have nothing but contempt.
And our name's destroyed. Our name's destroyed, and Karl Rove tells the New York Times, I control reality, and we're history's actors, and you just watch us. I mean, they really are power mad.
Yeah, and you know, when they say something is true, all of a sudden they just recreate the world to make it true. And after a while, you forget that you spent all day lying to make that thing true, and all of a sudden you're the man. And I think that's the Kool-Aid these people sip. I mean, it's an incredible amount of power.
They believe the lie is the truth. Final segment with Henry Rollins. We'll see if we can twist his arm maybe for 5-10 minutes more. But final segment coming up with Henry Rollins. Stay with us. All right, final segment with Henry Rollins, but he's agreed to come back on in the future. Henry, what I'm trying to... My point is that you're somebody who loves liberty and freedom, and I think you're a good guy. You're speaking out against censorship of the web, and I'd like you to briefly talk about that before you leave us. But then you talk about, you know, these hillbillies that want to attack a country but can't find it on a map, and they want a, you know, fully automatic rifle. My whole issue is that that's kind of the controlled left paradigm. We should have an armed population if we have a tyrannical government as a check and a balance against them. So where do you stand on gun control?
Well, I think you should have a gun in your house if you want to defend your family. I don't think any family, you or me, needs an assault weapon. If I was a policeman in your town and I know I'm going up against people with bullets that can go through my door, through my body and through the body of my partner, and I am not given ceramic-plated body armor, which stops an AK-47 round, I've got a real problem with that. And I don't think any citizen, what are you going to shoot with a gun? An intruder? Yourself on a bad day? Or maybe a deer, right? You're not shooting Al-Qaeda, so you don't need an AK-47. A shotgun, a handgun, fantastic. An assault weapon.
But see, once you let them start restricting, they can restrict it all. And certainly, you know, throughout history, tyrants have sought to disarm their quarry.
Yeah, and I just don't think you'd ever be able to disarm America. I just think it can be delicately regulated to where even Charlton Heston's ghost will be satisfied. I just don't think Americans need assault weapons. I don't think you'd ever successfully stop abortion or, you know, take the rifle out of anyone's cold, dead hand.
Well, I mean, I see your point there, but, I mean, here's another issue. The sun has no spots on it. It's cooling down. The earth goes up and down in temperature. I have no doubt we need cleaner fuels, that the oil companies are corrupt. But just to then say, well, we need a global tax to stop global warming, you know, I've got a lot of issues with that.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, when I go on tour now, I pay money to compensate for the global for the carbon footprint my bus leaves. And so when I take my tour bus out on the road, I'm doing damage, and so I compensate for that by sending money to this outfit my road manager hooked me up with, and we're going to be
Buying credits. Well, I mean, the central banks have said they want us to buy carbon credits from them, and it's just a global tax, Henry. I'm not saying I know you want to do good and want to reduce the fuel you're using, and I'm all for that. I just think you're a smart guy. You might, you know what? We're going to go to break when it ends. Let me get an address or a P.O. box from you. I'm going to mail you a film I made called Endgame. And I know you're a smart guy. It has a whole bibliography at whatistheendgame.com. I want you to fully look into the larger eugenics operation behind that. I mean, are you aware that there is a global elite that does want to carry out worldwide population reduction?
No.
Well, you're a smart guy. I bet you've come across some of that Malthusian social Darwin stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, Malthus said that we're all going to die of starvation. And, the Industrial Revolution momentarily proved him to be wrong. And now, as soon as you give more people more food, they breed more. You know, there's a lot going on with food systems in the world and the unsustainability of soils and the dangerousness of artificially produced nitrogen and the fact that we're breeding these animals so hard and so fast that, you know, they're mutating and you're eating strange meat. And, your E. coli is going zoonotic more than...
I agree. I mean, now they admit clone beef is in the population. We got 2 minutes left with you. What happened on the airplane? I mean, you're reading a book, and now reading a book is evil?
Oh, yeah. I was reading Jihad by Ahmed Rashid, and the man sitting next to me called me in to Homeland Security, and I was deemed a person of interest for reading a New York Times bestseller put out by the Yale University Press. So it's an interesting time we're living in. I just bought that guy's new book, too, Descent into Chaos, I think it's called. I've not yet read it. I just got it in the mail. I'm looking forward to it. He's a very astute writer.
Give us a one-minute rant on how they're trying to shut down the free web.
Well, I think they're trying to regulate web speeds and accessibility. I think the short of it is that the man is afraid of you having access to information, lest you start questioning his actions or maybe learning history, so you're doomed not to repeat it. And so I think the net is wildly informative, and they don't want that. They want you to believe the bumper sticker, like Boycott France, or anything that comes from the mouth of Rover, or, you know, any of these Fox bastards. And so it's just too much freedom for them to deal with.
Well, I agree, and I've seen some of the rants you've done where you break down Internet 2 and how they're trying to regulate. I mean, what's the answer? Just expose it? Fight back against it?
Well, you fight back as best you can as a citizen, but, you know, I wonder what can really be done when the hammer comes down on all of that. I mean, it's damn infuriating, because, you know, the beauty of web neutrality is the rich, the poor, you know, the hippie, the gay, everyone has access to information. Jefferson would have loved this.
Absolutely. HenryRollins.com, on tour in the U.S. and worldwide. Check it out there for when he's coming to your corner of the woods. He goes everywhere unless it's Antarctic. Henry, let me say bye to you here in this break, and that's it for Henry Rollins. We appreciate him joining us. Stay with us. This always happens. During the break, I went to Rollins, and he said, oh, yeah, I'd love to come back on for a full hour in the near future to set it up. So we're going to set him up in November for a full hour. And I said, yeah, I want to mail you some of my films. Give me your address. He goes, well, there's really no need of that, Alex. I buy your films. And he goes, yeah, my favorite's Terror Storm. He goes, yeah, I'd seen the first Terror Storm. Then I got some of your other videos, and then a friend of mine, in Austin gave me the second edition, and I really like that one. And but the phone was ringing. He had to go to another radio interview. So next time we get Rollins on, we'll get a plug, an endorsement of my videos from him on air. God, is there, how many people have we reached? It's all because of you, the listeners. Hey, Aaron, come on in here. You don't know why you're being called in here. Aaron is just incredible. Why don't you pull up a chair here real fast? I've got some audio clips I want to play and a bunch of other stuff. You don't know why I'm dragging you in here. But I want to recognize you specifically as the hardest working person in this office. No, not today. All the time. And then there's Rob works hard. Everybody works hard. I mean, Trey works hard. But, you know, down that line, the people at this office particularly, we have two offices. We're about to get rid of this one. But we're building the other studio, the TV studio.
I've never seen Paul and Kurt. I'm pretty sure they work pretty hard, too.
No. They work really hard on the web. But, well, I know Paul and Kurt, and they work hard, too. I mean, Kurt just had a bunch of dentist work done, a bunch of dentistry done, and he's still working. But, I mean, you were here at 9 a.m. yesterday?
Yeah. Well, 10 maybe.
Okay, well, I mean, how many? So we're 26, 27 hours later, and you're still here. And I am not telling you to do this. You're running around out there with incredible energy, though. 27 hours later, why don't you tell the listeners why you're so excited? Because I told you take all week if you needed this. I mean, you told me earlier, once you started your investigation, you're literally like a old detective on the trail of the bad guys. Tell folks.
Well, Denver was so exciting, and it's infuriating that we have all these great tapes, and they just go stale. So you're like, get them up. And all the cool people we met and all the interesting things they said. And then on top of it, this whole Malkin incident and how they just lie and say that you said things like kill Michelle Malkin, which is utterly ridiculous, completely untrue. And we proved it now with angle after angle. And Malkin, with her internment camps, I couldn't believe how many.
And we've got them touching me first. We've got them elbowing me first, and then I do it back. But that's okay for them to elbow and push me. I just can't do it back because I did it harder. I said, don't touch me. Okay, that's it. I'm going to push you. You're going to elbow me. I'm going to elbow you right back. But you know, it's the hoax is still going. I thought we dissipated it. I mean, people are calling stations, calling sponsors. Why did I say murder her? Why did I punch her? Why did I knock her teeth out? It's kind of like that telephone game where it's that I beat her. I knocked her teeth out. I mean, it's out there now that I beat this woman up. I tried to murder her. See, it's metastasized. We need the listeners to go get this new video that just went up on YouTube. It's titled Kill Michelle Malkin Hoax, correct?
Yeah, exposed.
Okay, have we gotten Paul and Kurt to post those on InfoWars and Prison Planet?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, this is a very important expose. I'm going to play it at the end of the show, just the audio today. But I mean, go over, because you've now spent the last, well, you know, we watched some while we were there, some we got back. I wasn't thinking I should put these videos up first, and I thought, oh, my God, I've got to defend myself for Malkin. It's like I'm under an inquisition or something. So you've been on that the last 27, 26 hours. Tell folks what you found.
Well, you know, first of all, it's a crowd situation, so it's always going to be exciting. Everyone's, you know, all up in energy from all sides. The anarchists.
Oh, we got attacked at all the other events, hit and punched. I mean, we were well behaved compared to the other people.
Yeah,
I mean, old ladies turn into demons at these events.
But see, the real hoax isn't, you know, who shoved first or who shouted kill Michelle Malkin, because we know that. It's a guy in a green shirt. We don't know his name, but we could see him from multiple video angles. The real hoax is that Michelle Malkin is supposed to be this cute little woman. And, you know, she's always preaching not to go off of, you know, diversity and not to judge, you know, based on race and stuff. Well, this crowd is going off the fact she's a woman, yet she's pitching these horrible ideas. Internment camp, defending murder of puppies when nobody cares about dead Iraqi children, dead Iraqi adults.
She's saying FEMA camps are good, torture's good, makes jokes about it.
And that's not just something you shouted at her in the crowd as though free speech wasn't your right, as though you're not supposed to confront horrible, monstrous ideas. But on YouTube, there's just endless clips, hours and hours of her pitching her book, The Case for Internment, and paralleling it with the Japanese internment.
And now arresting whole groups of Americans, whole races, whole religions, criticize the government, go to a camp, and then I'm not supposed to say, I don't like you pushing me to go in a camp when it's clearly a talking point?
Well, Alex, didn't you read the book? You don't just profile on religion, you also profile on race and on nationality.
And on their statements. You don't agree with the government, you go to a camp, yeah. How dare I? Imagine the Founding Fathers, if they would have, the Sons of Liberty, they'd have seen somebody running around publishing books about lock up anyone that criticizes the crown. Well, that's actually what happened, and they would actually lynch you. Now, we didn't do that. We're not calling for that. But this is how gelded even our own movement is. He yelled it. Oh, my God. It's Alex.
But they always want to call you Alex Jones Extreme. We have Geraldo Rivera from Fox News, the same network she's on, saying he'd love to spit on her, and he's glad he's not in the same city.
And by the way, he ended up getting her basically kicked off O'Reilly as the co-host, and then he almost got fired, but he survived that.
Yeah, and Rivera, you know, good or bad, he's not the best, but he was doing it for the right reason.
I mean, he recognizes when somebody says put every Muslim in a camp, it's over.
I commend Rivera for that.
I mean, he's allowed to say she's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
She is disgusting.
They want to attack you. He said more extreme things and should have. Those are horrible ideas. They have to be fought against.
Yeah, folks. I mean, let me tell you something. You start saying arrest people and their families. I mean, those are fighting words. Michelle Malkin's lucky she didn't get more. And but the bottom line is we have the video. I came up nicely at first, actually. I was, you know, crowds yelling, but I'm like, hey, you say put Americans in camps for their views. You said I lied about that puppy. And his guy comes up, gets right in my face, starts bumping into me, saying, I'm big, and then grabbed our camera and, like, wrenched the broke the microphone.
Incidentally, he was wearing a National Security Agency lanyard, like it's cute or something. Found videos of Malkin going on tours of the NSA and stuff like that.
Well, wait a minute. You know who the main sponsors of those websites are. The top sponsor. It isn't some Google ad, too, where you'll see a McCain ad or a Barack Obama ad.
It's Homeland Security.
And then we've got to erase it. Yeah, because when I first saw it on her site a year ago, I looked and said, well, that's not a Google ad. If you click it, it'll tell you if it's a Google ad. She has an actual sponsor, Homeland Security.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the Homeland Security's built camps as part of their program to condition the public to accept going to camps.
And she loves warrantless spying.
So she gets tours of the NSA.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, this woman is wicked. But, oh, I was mean to her.
It's actually a museum for the NSA, but still.
Oh, geez, we're in trouble. So tell us what we'll see on this video.
Well, we did our best to compile all our video angles as well as some of the YouTube angles, so you could really see what's going on, who's shouting what. You can see Alex comes up, you know, he's challenging her ideas, but he's using an even tone.
And I'm about 5 feet back. I also didn't even get in her space, because I don't get in people's space when I'm arguing with them.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about editing is you watch these moments moment by moment. And the moment she decides to walk away and end the friendly conversation is when you call out Cheney and his terror thing, Cheney's government-sponsored
terror.
Yeah,
I bring up, it just came out that Cheney wanted to stage terror, and it was like I'd shown a cross to a vampire.
I noticed nobody wants to talk about that.
Oh, they don't want to talk about that, no.
9/11 truth is, it's cuckoo stuff, but, you know, Cheney having meetings about shooting Navy SEALs to start a war with Iran, that's, you know, nobody can talk about that.
Because that's admitted. That's public. And we don't want to talk about the admitted examples. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, let's just isolate Cy Hirsch. Never talk about it. Never talk about Olbermann. Let's not talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the minute I said it, her face went ashen. If she actually, the color went out of it. You can watch it. She puts her chin up, closes her eyes like it was mind control, and turns.
That was actually the moment she leaves. That's also the moment that Mr. Pajamas steps up and starts becoming the bodyguard. I found out that they had never met before, but they have, you know, friendly blogs that...
Yeah, there was a whole constellation or pilot fish following the main wart. And then you had some local blogs who were affiliated with the guys dressed up like jesters who ran them, hey, we're with Alex Jones, and later are yelling F Alex Jones, and then are friends with Malkin's people.
Well, it's a whole canard of was it a thought-out stage conspiracy of six people or nine people. I don't think any of this was planned. It's just that they're disingenuous, won't take
Well, it was her
speech.
Supporters, and they did stand over me screaming, kill Michelle Malkin.
Sure, yeah.
And that looked like training to me.
It may well have been. You know, we don't have that proof in the video, but the point is they won't stand up for free speech. They won't defend those ideas.
They're really against me.
Yeah.
So that's the point, I said kill Michelle Malkin. Now I've proven I didn't say it, but now it's, we'll prove they're not with you.
That's right. Yeah, first it's Alex Jones is your buddy, then it's kill Michelle Malkin, then it's Alex Jones is a corporate stooge, then it's F Alex Jones. I mean, these guys are...
And then as they walked off, they went, F you, we punked you, we got you.
Who is this guy in the green shirt? That's the missing... I still don't know.
I was told by some of the other locals that they are allied neocon bloggers who are allied with Little Green Footballs, Looking at the Left, Pajamas Media, and
Well,
Hot
certainly
Air.
That's true of the photographer. He goes by the name
And he's the guy who sees them say kill her. He goes to cops and says Alex Jones is
Marco.
Saying...
And he was following us again the next day, looking at theleft.com. Yeah, because he has, when we were photographing him running to the police, he has pictures of us running after him. And we were just trying to find out why he's following us and why he's telling lies, trying to set up to the police. We have on tape another 9/11 truther filmed him setting up Alex Jones to the police.
Saying, look, they got Homeland Security as their sponsor. They're going for broke. They're on the TV saying put political dissenters in camps. These are hardcore people.
They thought they were going to go and make fun of a leftist protest that was really stood for nothing.
But see, it turns out the day before, it looks like it's the same green shirt guys, but in different shirts, starting the FU Fox they put on TV. And then Malcolm reported she'd been attacked before, and then they screamed, kill, kill. So it looks like, whether she knows it, she's got protectors that go around with her screaming, kill, kill, so they can then say that in the media.
Yeah, just... stage provocations as a way of life, basically.
And these guys are wearing disguises. Big sunglasses, hats.
Well, they're meant to look like court gestures to marginalize whoever Michelle Malkin is against that hour.
Yeah.
Just in case you challenge anything she's ever said.
This is a black op, ladies and gentlemen. They're directly sponsored by Homeland Security. And I just want to say shame on you, Homeland Security. You've been further discredited. CENTCOM, you've been further discredited. I'm not kidding. We need to get screenshots of the fact that they're sponsored by Homeland Security. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have seen that.
I mean, officially.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not... This is U.S. government going up against me, framing me for saying kill a woman and beating her.
It's outrageous.
God, I wish I would have known they were setting me up at the time. I could have really burned them. Doesn't matter. We're still winning. It's about a 60-40 split right now, but it's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. Will you get the video and send it to every neocon? By the way, when people start calling WBAP about this Mark Davis, he is still going on air saying, I edited video and then I did say killer. And folks, I do not want to spend your money suing him. I want to make new TV shows, radio shows, get big guests for you, break news. I mean, it's easy to sound tough and say, I'll sue, I'll sue. I mean, I've sued people four times and won every time. I don't enjoy it. It's not fun. I mean, Mark Davis, my wife sent him an email saying, please retract. My husband didn't say that. And he's like, you dumb woman, your husband's a piece of trash. You deserve every bit of it. We ought to publish that. I mean, this is just trashy, evil people, folks. And they're so used to an audience they can lie to and deceive and just get away with all of it. They revel in how stupid the general public is. Aaron?
It's really arrogant because we have him on video, these guys in the green shirt and his buddy saying, kill Michelle Malkin, while you're trying to have a conversation with Malkin about her internment camps. It's outrageous.
Now, you've done a masterful job. These are not just our cameras. These are other people's YouTube cameras. We are showing you in the next few days, if you get some rest, we'll do a part two because there's so much you couldn't put it all in 10 minutes. We want to keep it down to one bite of 10 minutes. But there's a bunch of stuff going up for members. The Tom Morello interview, the interview with Jerome Corsi, really powerful stuff at the DNC, Cindy Sheehan. A bunch of other exclusives for PrisonPlanet.tv members. Don't forget the new film, Fabled Enemies, is out. And I've noticed since we crossed this line with Fabled Enemies to really criticize the intelligence agencies that were involved, I'm noticing the heat is just, it's like somebody flipped a switch.
Well, all these bloggers seem to work for the same people as well.
Yeah, well, it's not going to work, folks. Every time we get attacked, we only get bigger. And I trust in God. I do believe in the Creator. I do believe in that, you know, energy, spirit of the universe, whatever you want to call it, good versus evil. And the good, the force of creation, God, is a lot better than the evil force, a lot bigger and a lot more powerful. And we just put it all in God's hands. But we have gotten death threats. You know, how dare you threaten to kill that woman? I'm going to kill you. This is the type of self-righteous stuff they like to feed the mentally ill stalker types.
Yeah, but see, about the Malkin thing, I think people are going after the wrong argument. They're arguing over, did you yell fire in a theater, or were you too loud at the wrong moment? The point is, they're coming after you when you were challenging her on the internment camps, and she has nothing to say about it.
About internment camps. It's never about lying and saying, I lied about the puppy.
And every video online, even Chris Matthews, it's, did you read my book? How about, what are these ideas you're pitching? How dare you?
Yeah, well, and then we did read her book. I mean, she came out with it like 3 years ago. They sent me a copy. We called their publicist, and I actually read the thing and read quotes on there. We ought to dig that interview
up. Well, there's people who went up to her at C-SPAN, you know, the TV channel, and said, how dare you write this? And she said, you didn't read my book. I'm not going to say anything to you.
Now, that's a condescending, like, if you read it, you would be for putting people without trials in prison camps.
I mean, maybe she has an asterisk in there, but, I mean, it's all on the cover there. I know what.
Well, I probably read 100 pages. I didn't read the whole thing. It was so horrible, I couldn't read it anymore. It was how wonderful it is to put all the Japanese in the camps, how it kept them safe, and how they loved it.
And how it relates to post-9/11.
And how the Japanese thanked them for putting them in camps, yeah, having their land and their fishing boats stolen. And no, they don't. I've talked to them. It's total bull.
It's not an intellectual graduate paper. It's a criminal hoax on the people.
Well, the video, for those out there, it is Kill Michelle Malkin Hoax Exposed. I need your help getting this video out to everyone, because this is definitive. This goes through all of it. This shows you what's happening. It details it. It's up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. But the good news is, liberal, conservative, libertarian, every bigwig I talk to, former German defense ministers, former Italian presidents, members of the Japanese government, Hollywood people. It doesn't matter who it is I run into. Rage Against the Machine, mainline neighbors down the street, people at church. They all know the government's criminal and out of control, and the lies and frauds you've been selling aren't working anymore. By the way, this video also gets into her past statements. She's always saying, "Did you read my book? Did you read my book?" We have her verbally saying what she believes.
Yeah, on Fox, on C-SPAN. On CNN, there's a few others too, I think. Just over and over. Same thing, over and over. The case for internment. Let's have internment.
I normally don't judge a book by its cover, but didn't she just seem troll-like and demon-like and hateful? I mean, she was a really disgusting person.
And she had a certain look on her face, if you will.
And, I mean, she thought that arrogant hate of us and dismissing us, like we would just grovel and quail like shrinking violets, you know, at her not liking us. Hey, we don't care, witch. We don't care what you and your punk Homeland Security employees do. We're going to expose you. We're going to discredit you because you need to be exposed and discredited for the monster pig you are. That video's up there. I want all of you to get it and ram it down everybody's throats. Help us get it out to the four winds now. Attack Pattern Delta. Guess what? Jerry Reed died yesterday. I was just informed of that.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound to like a bandit run.
Yeah, he just died yesterday.
Caught on the pedal, some never mind him brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
Song around the road. We were in Denver and Virginia for Bilderberg. I was just informed of this by Richard Reeves, who's been driving us on some of our trips, doing a great job, our navigator and driver. He is up in Minnesota with George Butler, and they have been they're reporting on it for Genesis, and so they can basically tell us what is going on there. But I want to finish the song out. Jerry Reed just died. I want to play that end of the song about old Smokey's got his ears on, and he's hot on your trail, and he ain't going to rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him. You got to duck him. You got to keep that diesel trucking. Just drop that hammer down and get the hell. Yeah.
He's found.
You're only alive once, ladies and gentlemen.
Are we going to do what they say?
So don't slow down.
We've got a long way to go
and a short time to get there.
I'm eastbound to watch old bandit run.
There's the best part of the song.
Old Smokey's got them ears on.
And he's out on your trail.
And he ain't going to rest until you're in jail.
So you got to duck him. You got to dodge him. You got to keep that diesel trucking.
Just put that hammer down and give it hell. Eastbound.
All right. C'est la vie. Bon voyage.
Au revoir.
There, Jerry Reed.
Got a long way to go.
And a short time to get there.
I'm eastbound to watch your bandit.
Torturing a singing. Let's go back now. Let's go to George Butler and Richard Reeves. They're in the Genesis Crow's Nest up in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in Burnsville, to be precise. Hey, guys, give us a quick synopsis of what you've seen.
Okay, Alex, last night on September 7th, Rally for the Republic was held in the center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it was called the Target Center. There were 15,000 people there, and it was crazy, and Ron Paul gave an inspirational speech.
Yeah, that's right, Alex. I'll tell you, it was a really exciting event. Wish you could have been here.
I'll tell you what was inspirational, Richard, was the fact that Jesse Ventura wouldn't shut up and talked about 9/11.
You know, I made a comment right after his speech that Don Weed earlier gave a very fine speech, but the most powerful, moving speech was given by Jesse Ventura.
That's right, because we all know that 80% of people there are 9/11 truthers anyway, so why should we be muzzled, huh? Richard?
Well, we weren't muzzled. We absolutely weren't. And 9/11 Truth is highly represented here at the Rally for the Republic. So there's no shortage of 9/11 truthers. There's no shortage of people wanting liberty and to uphold the Constitution. So it's really been a great time here so far. We've really gotten a lot of people fired up, and we've brought in a lot of neocons and woken them up, and it keeps growing every day. Our movement just keeps growing every
day. And C-SPAN's been carrying it all live on C-SPAN 2. That's a big victory right there. All of this is about growing the movement of liberty, waking people up, and just so glad that Ron Paul was able to make it with Carol in such dire straits. We're going to come back in about 60 seconds for five more minutes with Richard Reeves and George Butler. They're there co-hosting live radio shows for Genesis and live feeds there and doing a fabulous job. So we'll talk to them when we get back for five more minutes. Then I've got an expert joining us from Germany about the situation between the United States and Russia.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are talking to Richard Reeves, who has gone to Bilderberg with us, and I've known him for about 10 years, I guess about 8, 9 years. He also drove us in the RV and did a great job with the live video feeds that we did. He was the camera guy there, getting attacked quite a few times. And, of course, George Butler, who's been a guest on the show and a talk show host here on Genesis as well. They're up there covering it live. Hey, Richard, just a side issue. The new Michelle Malkin video, you know, our piece on her trying to set us up is out. You were there. You witnessed what happened. You witnessed being attacked at other events by old ladies. I mean, these are hyped up events, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And the Michelle Malkin thing was a setup. And I haven't seen this new video clip you're talking about, but I'm sure it really illustrates exactly how the setup occurred. And speaking of being attacked, I was attacked on Monday by the anarchist up here. I was trying to give Terry, one of our cameraman friends from Austin, our location, and they heard me giving the address, and all of a sudden they thought I was a cop, and so they started to attack me, and I thought for a minute, wow, a repeat of Denver, only worse.
Well, so the anarchist, again, attacking you, they attacked us in Denver. They'll actually attack you, push you, slap you, punch you, attack your camera while they say they're not violent, and they are the ones allowing the police state to grow. In fact, they are worse than the police. It is disgusting. So they thought you were a cop and attacked you.
That's correct.
And, yeah, folks, there's no call to just come out and start attacking police. Then they attack the general public. I'm so sick of these anarchists.
Well, it was definitely a tense moment there because they'd singled me out there for a little bit, and I was right there in the midst of them. They told me I better leave, so I just started backing out, and I got out of there. And later on, I got back in and got some more photographs. And
see, I'm glad I didn't go because I'm tired of backing off. I'd have just beat the hell out of them.
Well,
I just can't handle it anymore. I'm really in the mood just to literally start knocking some teeth out.
It was about 200-1, Alex, but if you'd have been with me, we'd have done it.
You know, actually, we'd have had more power with 200 against us. You know, that's when you really get going, Richard.
Well, there you go. Well,
hey, we're completely surrounded. Time. Good. Don't let any of them escape.
There you go. Exactly.
You know, Alex, what you've been saying for years, I just came out of the XL Energy Center, which is the GOP, you know, convention center, and it's surrounded by all kinds of barriers and fences, and there were more police and security than there were people this morning when I was there.
Yeah, it's just pathetic. The whole thing's a joke. Well, listen, I would like to get you guys on tomorrow in studio to give us a real report on what's happened. I got a big guest coming up after the break, or if you guys want to hang around for 30, 40 minutes while this guest is on, I mean, I'd like to get a real report from you guys about what you've seen and hear more, but anything else, George?
Well, we're going to be covering the GOP now in St. Paul. And like I said, I went in there this morning and looked at the center and everything else, the Xcel Energy Center. And we intend to set up maybe in a park there this evening sometime and maybe do a live broadcast, but we don't have any plan for sure.
Well, Alex, let's set up with your show for tomorrow because we didn't know we were going to be invited to be on the show with you. Ted just kind of put us in here and threw us on the air with you. But
that's what Ted does. He's bringing giant crowds of hoodlums through the office. But you guys are great. You're getting a tour of the broom closet, I'm told.
We're getting a full tour. That's
well,
right.
Well, Alex, you've always said about this police state, but this is the first convention I've been to with as much military and police. I mean, Secret Service cleared me through the Southwest Gate, you know.
But then you had to go through more of the gauntlet.
Then I went through another airport deal through all the scanning and all that other later on. There were several different layers of security here. It was terrible.
Well, you got to protect those low-level minions that they call presidential candidates who run absolutely nothing. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you popping in. And, yeah, you guys come in tomorrow and maybe near the end of the show and give us a report for 30, 45 minutes. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks. Keep up the good work, Alex. Yeah,
you bet. But you guys agree that the best speech was from Jesse Ventura.
Yes, sir. It was the most powerful, inspirational, and he nailed 9/11.
And I did hear that a few Ron Paulies kind of clutched their throats and hearts. Is that true? Like,
Alex,
no,
without
no.
Your Alex, without your leadership, there wouldn't have been the crowd reaction that he got.
So he got a good reaction.
He got
he?
A very good reaction because you're the leadership in this 9/11 truth movement.
You guys are awesome. Here we go.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
William F. Engdahl is our guest. He joins us from Germany. He's an economist and writer and author of the best-selling book on oil and geopolitics, A Century of War, Anglo-American Oil Politics, and the New World Order, which has been translated into French, Arabic, Koran, German, Croatian, Turkish. He completed Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of the GMO. So I want to get him to talk about that, too. He's with us for the rest of the hour. He also has exposed peak oil. He has written on several political issues like the economy, geopolitical, energy, agriculture, World Trade Organization. And he contributes regularly to a number of publications, including the Asia Times, Asia Inc., Japan's major publications. His bio just goes on and on, and we'll give you some of his websites and places you can check out what he is talking about. So it's really great to have you on with us, sir. Again, he has a degree in politics from Princeton University, graduate study in comparative economics, University of Stockholm. He worked as an economist for the freelance journalist for the New York and Europe. And it just goes on and on. He also covered subjects like the collapse of the USSR in 97-98 for Asian financial crisis. So he's just an expert on a wide range of subjects. And I was introduced to him a few years ago reading some of his economic papers. But then just 3 weeks ago or so, seeing him on Russia Today talk about how close this was coming to nuclear war, something that some top Air Force generals and others have concurred and said, but so I wanted to get him on. We're really honored to have you, sir.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Alex.
You bet. Now, I kind of babbled through your bio because it's so lengthy. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what's most important to know, and then break down what's currently happening from a historical and economic perspective and bringing us up to the current escalation with Russia.
Okay. Well, I'll try to do it succinctly here. Basically, I've spent the last 35 years or so since the early 70s when the the first oil shocks hit, and then we had a simultaneous food crisis. I've worked as an economist and a researcher and as a freelance journalist in New York at that time, and then over here in Europe, and have been following these events. And what struck me again and again and again were the parallels that kept repeating themselves. And as I dug deeper, I began to understand more about the networks of power that operate in our world today. And it's it goes back to a term that many people use and very few people really understand the meaning of it. It's called geopolitics. And the term was invented, actually, by a British geographer, not a geopolitician, but a geographer named Sir Alfred Mackinder in 1904. And he laid out a speech to the Royal Geographic Society called The Geographical Pivot of History. Now, this may sound like an off-the-track remark, but I'll bring it right back to what's going on today in Georgia and the Central Asia and the Caucasus. In that speech, he said, "There are land powers and there are sea powers. England is a sea power. If we control the crucial choke points of the world's oceans, that will control our empire. And we have to make sure that there is no land power that can challenge our hegemony. The only land power that could do that is Eurasia." Now, by Eurasia, he meant everything from Western Europe through Russia and on to China and India. And he said, if a country controls Central Europe, by which he meant basically Germany, France, Poland, and so forth, if Central Europe, who controls Central Europe, is able to control what he called the heartland. Now, the heartland for Mackinder was essentially Russia and Ukraine, which is really historically intimately tied to the history of Russia culturally. And if you control the heartland, Russia, then that power is able to control what he called the world island, which meant all of Eurasia, including China and India, including also the Middle East, although that was really a little bit before the extent of the oil reserves in the Middle East were known. And if you control the world island, you control the whole world. Now, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, all of the post-war American foreign policy strategists, Brzezinski, who's the prime foreign policy advisor of Mr. Obama today, they are schooled in the tradition of Sir Alfred Mackinder. American post-war politics has been based on this geopolitics. Drop an iron curtain across Europe, separating Western Europe from Russia, the Soviet Union at that time. Churchill encouraged that. He was a student of Mackinder, and he did everything to incite Stalin's paranoia in beginning in 1943, back in Trieste, which was then a disputed zone between Yugoslavia and Italy, and tried all sorts of provocations. The first Cold War was actually between Britain and the Soviet Union, which very few people really are aware of.
And that's the first speech by Churchill. An iron curtain has descended
across Europe, yeah. And that speech was delivered in Fulton, Missouri. Churchill was a brilliant master of political manipulation. He once said, "The truth in times of war is too important. It has to be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies." Well, he was pretty good at that bodyguard business. And he played a game of poker with Harry S. Truman down there in Fulton, Truman's home state, and graciously lost to Truman. So Truman was feeling pretty perky up against this great war hero, Churchill. And the U.S. more and more got drawn into this idea of creating this Cold War boogeyman image of communists under every bed and hiding in the State Department and who knows what. And this Iron Curtain essentially kept Western Europe and Russia separated for the good part of 50 years.
And Stalin used the posturing to help build up his whole apparatus of control as well.
Well, of course, yeah. Then you had, the world simply divided. And at that time, China was very much integrally tied to Stalin's Soviet Union until the 60s. But so you had a whole section of the world that was separated off. But that state of permanent tension, that national security state, I'm just completing and preparing for publication a new book called Full Spectrum Dominance, the subtitle Totalitarian Democracy and the New World Order.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you're really into all the very same subjects I'm into, and a much greater scholar. And of course, who wouldn't be into wanting to know what the shadow government's doing, the COG's doing? So let's spend some time in this hour getting into the new book. I know it's about to come out. There's so many things I want to talk to you about. You've also written about Confessions of an Ex-Peak Oil Believer, how you got suckered into that. But there's a lot of sophisticated propaganda there. Let's now telescope it down to what's currently happening.
Okay. Take your time. Okay. What we've had since the end of the collapse of the Soviet Union, Gorbachev threw in the towel, raised up the white flag of surrender and said, okay, our system has failed miserably. Yours has been a brilliant success in the West, and we can't compete with you anymore in the arms race, in the missile defense, the Star Wars in Afghanistan, one thing after the other. So we want to peaceably reorganize our society and come into the Western market system. And part of the negotiation was that James Baker III, who was the Secretary of State under Father Bush at that time, James Baker III and Jack Matlock, who was U.S. Ambassador to Moscow, sat down with Gorbachev, and Matlock has subsequently confirmed this in private discussion from his own private notes, and James Baker gave Gorbachev solemn assurances that if unified Germany, East Germany and West Germany, would be allowed to continue to be a member of NATO and not be neutral like Finland or Sweden or Switzerland, then the United States would not extend the borders of NATO eastward into the former Poland and the former countries of the Warsaw Pact. Well, beginning 1991, the U.S. began negotiating and propagandizing and enticing the former Warsaw Pact countries around Russia to join NATO, one after the other. And then a few of them that wouldn't join, like Ukraine and Georgia, well, the State Department and the U.S. intelligence services, they organize what they call color, what's called in the East, color revolutions. And you had, and first one was in Serbia against Milosevic. The State Department, the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a, as the president of it said one time, we do what the CIA used to do only as an NGO. Well, they use U.S. taxpayer monies to upset regimes that are not playing on the same sheet of music as the Washington administration in any given situation. So Georgia, the Republic of Georgia, which is a very, very sensitive, tiny little country right on the border of Russia in the southern part of the Caucasus, and Ukraine, which really goes back hundreds, centuries, back into the old days of Kiev Rus, culturally and so forth, it's indistinguishable from Russia. And, of course, all the natural gas pipelines to Western Europe that are so vital for the Russian economy, most of them flow through Ukraine. So the color revolution put Mikhail Saakashvili, educated at Columbia University Law School in New York, groomed and trained by the U.S. State Department. And he was brought in as a 37-year-old to come in and be president of Georgia on the promise that he would bring Georgia into NATO. And the same thing with Yushchenko, who just underwent some problems with his government in Ukraine today. Viktor Yushchenko.
We're going to break. Stop right there, sir. We're talking to William Ingall, amazing researcher and journalist, academic from the United States. He's over in Germany right now, and he's our guest for the rest of the hour. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell in. William Ingall is our guest. William, before we go any further, fire out a list of your books, websites people should visit, if people want to learn more about your research.
Sure. The first one is called A Century of War, Anglo-American Oil Politics. The second one is called Seeds of Destruction, the Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation. That's available at www.globalresearch.ca. The third one is just in final preparation, typesetting and so forth. It's due to be out, I would say, end of September, early October, and that people can go onto my website. The title of that, and that goes into the background, little-known background of this whole military drive of the Pentagon since the end of the Cold War to simply literally place military bases in every corner of the world.
General Curtis LeMay wanted to nuke everybody.
Yeah. It's called Full Spectrum Dominance, Totalitarian Democracy in the New World Order.
And okay, well, we're going to cover that.
Provocative title.
Yeah, oh, well, it's the truth. I can't think of a better term, a better name. Let's finish up with what just happened in Russia, and then we're going to get into all that.
Okay, the website that people can go to for more information on all of this is www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net, www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net, or just Google my name and you'll come to it eventually. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. No, that's great. I was asking you to plug. Now, this is a short segment. So you brought us up to the color revolutions, putting these puppets in, giving them weapons, giving them arms. The evidence is pretty clear now, but you know, you're closer to the conflict than I am, that the U.S. basically gave the order to this individual in Georgia to launch the attacks, and they thought Russia would do like they did in Pristina in 99 and pull back and, I guess, just give those territories to them. Do you agree with that analysis?
Well, I think if the U.S. didn't verbally give the order, and I have no court proof that they verbally gave the order, they gave every encouragement and every indication to Saakashvili in Georgia that if he marched into South Ossetia, South Ossetia and Abkhazia, the two breakaway provinces, they fought a bloody, bloody war with Georgia. These are tribal differences. Most Americans don't understand this. These are tribes. These are tribes that they have blood feuds going back centuries, and the South Ossetians have no love at all for the Georgians and vice versa, and the Georgians would like to create ethnic genocide and just clear them out and take them over for themselves.
Well, they did that in 1991.
Yeah, 91 through 94, there were bloody, bloody wars, so the Ossetians are extremely disinclined.
And now
Saakashvili
has said that he's planning to launch another sneak attack, and then meanwhile, our controlled media tells us that Russia snuck attacked Georgia.
Yeah. Well, that's it's uncanny. Over here in Europe, the media coverage is a little bit more honest, although there's heavy pressure from the State Department to tilt the news of the European governments. But
how do you tilt the news that Georgia launched sneak attacks on two Russian ethnic provinces?
Yeah, well, they just omitted that fact in CNN. I was totally astonished when I watched it, but there you go.
Isn't there a danger in dumbing the propaganda down to such a level?
Well, I think so. At a certain point, you run into what's called the grievous principle. A general in the Greek Civil War, General Grievous, said, if you do covert operations at a certain point and scale them up beyond a certain point, they become so obvious that they lose their effect, and they backfire on you. I think there's a very real risk of this, but...
Well, here's an example. They have Michelle Malkin openly funded by Homeland Security. They don't even hide it, making hoaxes up about me, and that's backfiring on them. I mean, they're just getting so obvious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But why are they so obvious?
Well, I think the point is, this is a giant on a feet of clay, and this is... The elites, the Council on Foreign Relations, really back in the 1930s, in the end of the 30s, with the Rockefeller Foundation money, decided to map out the future American empire at the end of the coming war. This was before the German panzers rolled into Poland, keep in mind. And they were already planning how America would run the world after the war.
Yeah, Lord Milner.
And what they said is, look, the British have a bad model because everybody is anti-imperial, anti-colonial, and so forth. So we'll manipulate that sentiment, and we'll say we're the purveyors of democracy and freedom and the American way of life. And we're spreading the free enterprise system. And we'll talk about this, and we'll never call ourselves an empire, but de facto, it was one of the most ruthless empires in
okay,
in
he's
history.
An amazing individual. We'll be right back with our guests. Stay with us. Journalist, academic, author, researcher. I got to get him up for like 2-3 hours at a time. I'm really impressed with this guy's research. I've read quite a few of his articles in the past, and just for some reason never got him on. He writes for Global Research, obviously, and Michelle Chasadosky and that great crew over there. But maybe I'll twist his arm, stay a little bit into the next hour so we can go through all these subjects. I mean, he's an expert on how they radicalize the Muslims, use them to encircle Russia on the Brzezinski model. And going into the future, they've always had this plan. They needed to use al-Qaeda as a pretext to get into the Middle East, get into Central Asia, and then revert back to their Cold War. Now, to be clear, I'm not defending Vladimir Putin. I'm not defending any of these people. They have their own strategy, their own corruption, their own, but they're not the global dominant system. They're not the ones setting up free speech zones and devaluing the dollar and building FEMA camps here in the United States. And they're not the ones that snuck attack Russia-controlled areas or demilitarized peacekeeping zone. So that's why we have our guest on with us, and we'll plug your website and everything else before you leave us again. So listeners, be sure and be patient and wait for that. Now, Mr. Engdahl, please continue breaking down what you were covering with this policy of encirclement of Russia. NATO comes out and says, now we have a preemption to strike you first with nukes. Russia says, okay, well, then we now have a preemptive strike capability as well. I mean, why this escalation? Why this policy of starting a war with Russia? Continue.
Very simply, Alex, if you go back to what I said at the beginning of the program with Halford Mackinder and Russia is the heartland, Brzezinski said it in his 1997 Foreign Affairs article in his book, The Grand Chess Game, explicitly, American policy is that we can allow no nation or group of nations to emerge as a potential competitor. Now, that's a pretty arrogant foreign policy for a nation that preaches democracy, in my view. But this is raw power politics. And their view is, and has always been, I maintain, since the end of the Cold War, for Washington, for the Pentagon elite, and the military-industrial complex, the Cold War never ended, not for a heartbeat. They have quietly remodernized, revised, and upgraded their entire nuclear submarine fleet, their MIRV missile delivery systems, everything else. But the key to the whole thing, the key to the whole shebang, and bringing Russia to its knees. Russia, listeners should realize the significance of Russia. They went through hell under the Yeltsin era, the Washington, the Bush administration.
That was the British U.S.-backed Anglo-American oligarchs. They're sucking them dry. Putin's the big enemy because he threw them out.
Yeah. Well, what you had was a dollarization of Russia under Yeltsin. Essentially, the U.S. State Department kept Yeltsin filled with vodka enough to get what they wanted, and they allowed these oligarchs to plunder the country and become dollar billionaires. But they had to be dollar billionaires, not Deutschmark billionaires or French franc billionaires, and therefore dependent on, you know, dollar-related interests in London and in New York. And of course, these oligarchs, if you become a billion-dollar carrot waved in front of your nose, very few people that I know of would say, oh no, I'm not interested. So they sold out their country and plundered the thing. Now, Yeltsin came in 1997 when the people weren't getting their pension, people who'd worked hard their whole lives, they were just in desperation. And Yeltsin told the oligarchs, he sat them down and said, look, you back my election bid to become president, and I'll make an agreement with you. If you stay out of internal Russian politics and repatriate a share of your ill-gotten gains from plundering Russia, I'll leave you basically alone. And that's what most of them did. They, you know, they had their empires, and they went on in more or less an orderly way.
And you'd have two guys over all the oil and gas, one guy over all the nickel and other metals. You'd have one guy over transportation. What, there are only about nine oligarchs?
Yeah, something like that, seven or nine. The numbers differ. And what happened is in 2004, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, one of the oligarchs who owned something called Yukosoil, he got a little bit greedy. And he was at that time labeled the richest man in Russia. He made a deal to buy Sibneft, another major Russian oil company, and entered into negotiations with Father Bush. He brought Father Bush, as then with the Carlyle Group, over to Moscow to negotiate selling 40%, it was said in the Russian press, 40% share of Yukosoil to either Chevron, Condoleezza Rice's old company, or to ExxonMobil.
I want to stop you. I want to stop you right there, the biggest oil company. I want to stop you because this is so important. When you hear about America has a view of America first, that means our oligarchs that have looted us want to use us as an engine to dominate the globe. See, a lot of good old boys say, sounds good, let's take them Ruski's oil. No. We pay for the political projection of power. We end up getting nothing. I mean, that's a key point. There's a lot of sociopathic people out there who miscalculate, sir, and you know, they're not coming to this from a moral perspective. I want the immoral out there to know we're fitting the bill for this, and then we get none of the spoils. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, look at the bill that that the American public is fitting for the this madness in Iraq and Afghanistan. Look at the body bags that are coming back, and the administration won't even let those be publicized and give the
$3 trillion and counting, a million dead Iraqis, 5,000 dead U.S. troops in Iraq alone.
Yeah, and ongoing. So,
Daddy Bush comes over. I interrupted. Daddy Bush comes over. They're about to hand over 40% directly to the Anglo-American oil companies.
Right, and that would give the U.S. A major foothold because British Petroleum had already cut a deal with TNK, another Russian oil company, a major foothold in privatizing and taking over the crown jewels of the Russian economy, oil and gas. Well, Khodorkovsky did something else. He crossed the Rubicon with Putin because he started using his money to bribe members of the Duma, the parliament in Russia, before the elections, and was on his way to change the law regarding the ownership rights of subsurface minerals, meaning oil and gas, so that private companies could build oil and gas pipelines. And he was working with Dick Cheney and people in Washington to do all this. He was a consultant to the Carlyle Group. This is very few people realize that. Mikhail Khodorkovsky, this Russian oligarch, was a consultant to this most powerful private equity group in Washington called the Carlyle Group. And where George Bush Sr. was an advisor, as well as James Baker and numerous other scallywags that have done their deeds over the years. And, Khodorkovsky was out to make himself president with his money and essentially turn Russia over to his friends, his pals in Washington and New York and London. And that was a step too far. And suddenly he got off his plane in one of his oil projects in Siberia and was met by FSB, the Russian state security, and he's been in prison ever since. That's how they deal with things in Russia. You may say this isn't quite the niceties of law, this, that, and the other thing. To my mind, I don't know that I would do it much differently if I were in Putin's shoes. He was about to sell out the country, illegally buy up the Duma and make himself president, and give the whole thing, probably bring Russia into NATO, and poof, there would be it. So I see Putin as a nationalist. He's a Russian nationalist. Russia is a different culture. It has its own tone, its own way of doing things. That's their business. I don't interfere in that, and I ask people not to interfere in my business. But I see what he's done since 97 as trying to put Russia on a stable basis, get elderly people's pensions paid, get their medical care taken care of, and create a floor under the economy.
Oh, I have to say, I mean, he's tired of Russian men dying at age 55. They're actually trying to get a breeding program going because the country's dying, to get the young people to have children. I mean, this is the opposite of a eugenics agenda. We see from the Russian government the opposite of the Anglo-American eugenics model that we live under.
Well, the eugenics model is what I write about in the Seeds of Destruction. The real project with the genetically modified seeds, to my mind, is a Rockefeller Foundation project for precisely that, eugenics.
Well, let me stop you. This is too important. What are you doing next hour?
I would prefer, Alex, if we could make it another date in a week or two.
That no. We'll do that, but give us a prelude, or, you know, give us kind of an hors d'oeuvre of your research, because I've done a lot of research. Everything you're saying is so accurate, and it's bringing up all the history, and so I know it'll be accurate on these other issues. I want to spend some time on the national security state. I want to spend some time on the seeds. Let me just keep you then, because I got you on 5 minutes late. How about 5 minutes into the next hour?
That's fine.
Okay, that's great. And don't worry, I'll have you back up again and again, because I'm really excited to hear your information. Okay, condensing it down, you brought us up to what's happening in the late 90s, the oligarchs. Every time an oligarch gets arrested now, it turns out he's really a Rothschild front. That's come out in the Times of London. Please continue.
Okay. Well, 2004, so Khodorkovsky was put in prison. A lot of the other, one of the core allies of Russia, if you want to call it that, it's almost inseparable. Half of Ukraine is ethnic Russians on the eastern part. They suddenly become a candidate to join NATO in 2004 with this Orange Revolution, and the same thing in Georgia. Then, on top of that, January 2007, the Bush administration announces that it is requesting the government of Poland and the government of the Czech Republic to install what it calls an anti-missile defense system, including missiles in Poland and radar installations in the Czech Republic, to protect against possible rogue nuclear missile attacks from Iran.
Which is ridiculous. You would have those in Turkey, or you'd have those in Israel, which are already there. It's really, according to the former head of Star Wars, Dr. Bob Bowman, and others we've interviewed, it's really a sneak attack weapon, so you can nuke Russia, as NATO's stated their new policy is a preemptive nuke attack. And if Russia tries to respond back under mutually assured destruction, then you can shoot down their badly coordinated, limited response back with your missile defense system and protect your main bases in Western Europe and your army, so they can then move in to the freshly nuked Russia.
Precisely. This, in a kernel, is what I talk about in full spectrum dominance. And not surprisingly, Russia is reacting to this. They say, Homa, step back a little bit, Washington. Easy now. This is a casus belli. This is a declaration of war. And the fact that right after the Georgian invasion of South Ossetia and the Russian response to that, that Poland, the Polish government, was pressured by the Bush administration to sign up with the missile defense thing after long, long months of negotiations and horse trading, that has put the world, as I put it, on a hair trigger for nuclear war by miscalculation.
And we see more miscalculation with the preemptive attack with the U.S.-backed forces in Georgia against Ossetia and Abkhazia. I mean, you've studied geopolitical plan for a long time. It seems like this is a more aggressive, virulent crop, or is it just so late in the game? I mean, obviously, we know it's not just Bush. The big boys are backing all this.
Yeah.
Do you see? I mean, you get the question.
Yeah. This one in Georgia is extremely complex. I think the Cheney crowd, the people around Cheney in the military-industrial complex and the intelligence community, wanted this provocation in Georgia. They control the propaganda, so of course their CNN version of events is that Russia aggressively attacks this tiny little country, Georgia. And of course Americans love to champion the underdog, so American public opinion is swayed behind this big, nasty bully, Russia. But the reality was quite the opposite. Israel was up to their teeth in training and arming the Georgian armed forces.
Yeah, Israel's hungry for some empire of its own.
Well, there's some speculation that Israel was about building a military base, an air base in southern Georgia, which would put its missiles and its aircraft 500 kilometers closer to Tehran in Iran, the capital of Iran, and the various strategic sites in Iran, than it would by a strike from Tel Aviv or someplace in Israel. So it's an extremely complex, this is what Churchill called the soft underbelly of Europe, this whole area in the Caucasus and the Balkans. And
Okay, condensing this down in your view, because I want to get into this full-spectrum dominance and also some of the GMO, which I think is the greatest threat and much more dangerous than even the nuclear threats and chemical, because it can't be put back in the bottle in some cases, potentially.
Yep.
But briefly, where do you see, now that the Georgian attack has been rebuffed, where do you see this going? We see 700 and something million from the Euro, European Union going in, NATO, IMF. We see $1 billion coming from the U.S., more weapons being brought in. We see the leader of Georgia saying he may launch another attack. Where do you see this going?
Well, I don't think the leader of Georgia is going to launch another attack for a little while. He reports coming out of from Georgian journalists and others inside Georgia at the time when Russian jets flew over.
Now he was cowering in the street, crying. Yeah, but
yeah, absolutely. There's a BBC video clip that's out on the internet where he's being interviewed around this time, and he starts nervously taking his necktie and starts chewing and swallowing his necktie.
Yeah, he's on national television looking like a cartoon caricature of a schizophrenic.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he's known to be a highly unstable, pathological individual who's very vengeful in a clan sort of way to any of his opponents. There are accusations from Georgian journalists that he actually was behind the murder of some of his political rivals. I can't prove that one way or the other, but all indications are he's a very nasty kid.
So where do you see this going?
Well, I see that we're entering an extremely dangerous new phase. Now, what I would watch very closely is the events around Ukraine. If the Prime Minister Tymoshenko has pulled her party out of the government and the coalition with Yushchenko has collapsed, Yushchenko of the Orange Revolution, because she refused to condemn Russia for the events in Georgia. And if that allows a government to be formed with the opposition party and leave Yushchenko out in the cold, then you might have a whole new constellation where Ukraine would no longer be applying for NATO membership, and that would substantially change the balance of power in that whole Central Asia zone around Russia.
All right, I'm going to skip this network break with our guest. You're going to hear here routinely. I'm really impressed with his research and information. Just an amazing information. We'll give you his websites as well. We're going to skip this break with William Engdahl right now on the InfoWars.com streams. Okay, I'm going ahead and skipping this break, sir. Let's finish up the next 3 minutes with Russia, and then I want to give people a prelude to the national security, the global national security state, your full spectrum dominance book, and then also the GMO, because we're definitely doing some of the same research, and I want to get your take on that. And I guess you are pressed for time. You can only do 5 minutes into the next hour.
Yeah, that would be possible.
Okay, well, I'm going to have Trey, my producer, call you right when the interview ends to go ahead and set you up for 2 hours next week. How's that sound?
Okay, I'll just have to check my schedule and see when we can work that. But
And I assure you, you're not wasting your time. This show is worth 100 other little Patriot shows, okay? Which are all very important programs. It's just that you're not wasting your time here coming on the show.
No, I'm aware of that, Alex.
Okay, good. Well, I don't know if you're aware of what we do here, but I'm certainly aware of your work. Okay, let's keep talking here, finishing up with the Russia situation and where you see it going, because a lot of other experts and yourself and others have talked about the Russians did move some nukes into Ossetia, South Ossetia. They said if precision weapons are used, their general went on TV and said, if you use precision weapons on us, we'll use nukes on you, theater weapons. And I look at the body language, you're seeing reality. This isn't the pompous, fake Western BS, and these aren't the fat, evil, communist. I mean, you're looking at these guys, and their generals actually look completely freaked out. So, give us your take.
I think the crucial thing that's congealing around all of this is the look a little bit more east to something called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which up until about 2 years ago was kind of a shell organization that Russia and China set up in the 7 or 8 years ago to kind of coordinate their activities and talk about how they can prevent another currency crisis like the one that hit Russia and the Asian countries back in the late 90s. Now the Shanghai Cooperation Organization has emerged as what I call Halford Mackinder's nightmare. That is cooperation across Eurasia, with the exception of Western Europe, but between Russia and China.
Now, the anti-communists are going to say this was all staged and that the China-Soviet split was staged. Your take on that?
Okay. Well, they have quite an interesting ideology, but it gets a little boring after a while. In terms of reality, China and Russia are very, very unlikely partners for a marriage.
Stay there. We're coming back to the full audience. Let's continue there. The Shanghai Cooperative Organization. We're continuing with academic, author, researcher, William Engdahl, who's going to stay with us 5 minutes in the next segment and then spend a couple hours with us next week. Very gracious to do that. Finishing up with what you see in the future, Russia and China teaming up for their New World Order, as they've said, against, quote, our New World Order. But our New World Order is a global corporate whorehouse where we fit the bill and the bankers basically urinate on us from on high. Please continue.
Well, that's quite a literary description of the reality. I have to laugh here. Good Texas poetry there.
Oh, thank you.
The point I was making before the break was the Shanghai Cooperation Organization now is emerging as the worst nightmare of Washington. Their aggressive policies, the grab for Iraqi oil and the militarization of the Middle East after 2003 by the Bush-Cheney administration and the help of Tony Blair, the militarization of Eurasia through U.S. military bases all across Afghanistan, into Pakistan, into Kyrgyzstan and elsewhere, and for a while in Uzbekistan, that has backfired, and Russia and China begin to realize that they have more in common than they do as opponents. And they have very carefully begun to resolve border disputes going back to the 1960s between the two countries.
Now, how does throwing in a wild card, how does Pakistan, what was really behind Benazir Bhutto, how does Musharraf resigning, how does all that feed in? I mean, is that the U.S. Anglo-American system weakening more, or is that a reshuffling?
I think that was in the Bhutto business, the assassination of Bhutto. I think the evidence points to the fact that Musharraf's own security services assassinated her. She was killed in a town where the Pakistani military virtually runs the town.
That's what my sources are saying. And was it the West was sending her in, and Musharraf said no, thank you?
Yeah, basically that. He saw her as a rival. Even the Cheney runs or was running, by all accounts, the U.S.-Pakistan policy. No one from the State Department was allowed any input into what they were playing with. And Cheney and his circle of hawks there in the office of the vice president, some say the president, but anyway, that's really beside the point. They needed to get a pleasant face on the events in Pakistan.
So is Musharraf leaving? What's behind that?
What's behind it is a real power vacuum inside Pakistan
with nuclear weapons floating around.
Well, the reports I have are that the quid pro quo for Pakistan getting U.S. aid in the war on terror negotiations back in 2001.
Is that U.S. forces sit on top of them?
Yes. So the U.S. has the lock key on the Pakistan.
So is Pakistan really just a sub-state or a proxy state if the U.S. or England ever wants to nuke India?
I think the Pentagon strategy in the last 4 years has been to make India the American cat's paw in Asia against China. And the Indian elites are split down the middle. They like U.S. investment in Chinese software companies and so forth.
But Pakistan is the Trump, idiot. Though. I mean, that's a wild card, or you disagree?
Pakistan is it's a potential wild card. It's a very, very complex part of Asia. China has a big influence.
Here's the question. Well, exactly. Their buddies. Why did the West help give nukes to AQCon Laboratories is the question.
I'm sorry you have to repeat the question because I...
Why did the West, in your educated opinion, help arm Pakistan with nukes? What was the point of that?
I think to justify the strategy of tension has been a very effective way for the U.S. to extend its
military dominance. I agree with you. Stay there. So basically it's like in the Western where he drops the gun in front of the guy.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
All right. I'm going to talk behind scenes with him right now. I'm going to keep rolling. Let me go back to William Engdahl. William, we got 5 minutes left, and I know I'm throwing a lot at you here at the end because I want to get your perspective on all this. Let's come back and just briefly talk about the national security state, your book, Full Spectrum Dominance, and then a little bit on the seeds, on the GMO, so people get an idea of what's coming up next week. And then do you happen to have your book in front of you?
Which one?
No, I mean your book on when you can come on next week.
No, I don't. That's in my office. I'll have to check with that. If your assistant can call me in about 5 minutes after we sign
Perfect.
Off.
We'll nail this down now because I really enjoy talking to you. And when I get you on for 2 hours, I can really let you just run, and then I won't have to interrupt so much with questions to get all my questions answered. Okay, we're going live, back live in 20 seconds, sir. We've got author, researcher, geopolitical expert William Engdahl on with us. Final segment. I'm going to twist his arm into 2 hours with us next week because there's so many questions I want to ask. This guy's just got really amazing research. Get ready for his website here at the end and how you get some of his books. If any of you still read, I know I have. Don't hardly have time, but this is stuff you've got to read to understand the true nature of the world and what's happening in it. You think creating Al-Qaeda is bad? What about giving nukes or help give nukes to Pakistan just so you can have a strategy of tension and say, oh my God, there's nukes? That's what we're dealing with here. And in the 4 minutes we've got left, sir, briefly, your new book coming out, I want to give a prelude to that, the Full Spectrum Dominance, and then also you get into the GMO and how dangerous it is and talk about that being conspiratorial. Break that down in the 4 minutes we've got left.
Okay. Well, the full-spectrum dominance, we've touched on many of the themes very briefly in the last hour, Alex, but that's basically the background to why the Cold War never ended and why back in the late 1940s, the dominant factions in the American establishment at that point, which was most keynoted by one family, the Rockefeller family, Nelson, David, Lawrence and John D. Rockefeller III, they developed this idea of the national security state. Anything could be justified, a violation of individual rights, any illegalities by the CIA and so forth, by the term national security. Nobody wants to be insecure, so they kind of without question accepted what was being done. But that has now become permanent and become globalized since the end of the Cold War, and that's what the Full Spectrum Dominance book takes up, and how that has been manipulated in terms of the American population and all sorts of other things, the control of the media. Now, the question of GMO, I got into this. I've been following the whole agribusiness, the grain cartel, and so forth since the early 1980s and the Uruguay round trade talks of the GATT, the GATT. And I realized that there was a cartel. There's certain core interests that are inviolable in terms of the U.S. national security state. One of them is the military-industrial complex. Number two is the big oil, which includes Halliburton, most definitely. And number three is the grain cartel, or the control of world food trade. And Cargill, Bungie, Archer Daniel Midland. And what I got into in this GMO book was I realized that four corporations, Monsanto, DuPont, Dow, and Syngenta, which is really a British company, but it's based in Basel, Switzerland, they stood to control patents on life, but patents on the most vital food in the human food chain.
But they had to infect the entire biosphere to then create a global crisis that only global Anglo-American power could deal with. I haven't read your book, but I know their battle plan. Is that what your book gets into?
It gets into the plan of eugenics. The using GMO is the Frankenstein dream of the Rockefeller eugenics faction or Rockefeller.
Well, see, the reason, I've never read your book, but the reason I'm finishing your statements is so listeners understand this is the truth, and I've got to get your book. I've got to carry it at InfoWars.com. People have got to get it. They understand this is part of a larger strategic plan. We have their own documents. I would guess you reverse engineered and have the same stuff I have. I'm just so busy. I'm making a second endgame or similar term. I'd like to interview you for it, and I'm doing it next year. I may even suspend the JFK thing. This is just too important. But on this subject, give us your websites. Tell us how they get that book.
Okay. www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net. www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net is my website. All the books are there in different languages so far that are available. But the Seeds of Destruction book is available. My publisher is Michelle Shosadovsky's Global Research, www.globalresearch.ca.
Okay, that's it. That's it, sir. We got to let you go.
Today, unlike any other in the world.
We're behind the scenes now, but we are going out over the web. I'm going to have Trey call you right now, and let's do a two-hour show, one on full-spectrum dominance, and then we'll focus in on one tool in full-spectrum dominance, total control of the life, global biosphere through genetic engineering and their kangaroo courts, and the eugenics program, the forced inoculations through the food. I mean, because if you've done the research, you've got the same info, but I want to get your scholarly perspective.
Okay.
And then we'll
say... And if he could give me... 1 or 2 minutes, not more, to get to my office down the hall here. I'll get on my Outlook calendar and see what I got next
week. Okay, you are the best. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Great. Thank you for having me, Alex.
Thank you. Wow. Interviews like that, folks, just completely blow you away. Well, somebody go tell Trey to call him in 2 minutes. He's expecting the call 2 hours next week, two hours with him. You know, and when you've got all the documents and everything, and you know they're killing you, you know they're putting cancer viruses in vaccines, you know that the diabetes is from the vaccines, and that it's in all the medical journals, British Medical, American Medical. You know, when you know that they're doing it, and you know they're not going to stop it, it's like God, and you've got these stupid people like Michelle Malkin scared of Muslims that are going to get her, which are run by the CIA, the radical Muslims publicly. And she's saying, give up your rights, go to FEMA camps, or the Muslims will get you. Meanwhile, they're poisoning everybody. And you got these sicko Rockefeller Queen of England people who freaking want to kill all of us. And it's a fact, and you just can't get the general public to wake up to it. I'm going to come back on the main show and talk about that. Let's go back to the radio ads here. I'm going to take a break.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Last week in Denver, three separate times for a total of about 2.5 hours, we took over MSNBC's live outdoor feeds with InfoWars.com. 9/11's an inside job. Now, I haven't had time to defend myself on this, but all my detractors said, how come you just repeated 9/11's an inside job and investigate 9/11 over and over again? Well, if you want to know why, tune in to MSNBC right now. They're giving speeches. 9/11 Truths giving speeches, and I'm not knocking them. They're great folks. They just called us to let us know they're doing it, and you can't hear it. When you get up there and say, Dick Cheney planned an attack on our own ships, the Gulf of Tonkin was staged, we need to look into 9/11, you don't hear that because they're talking over you. But if you say 9/11's an inside job, 9/11's an inside job, 9/11's an inside job, people can listen. And I talked to family, people all over the country, who would be flipping through and would hear it and go, and they would focus to see what was being said. So it's very, very, I mean, again, I've been doing this a while, folks. This isn't my first rodeo. And I don't claim that everybody's got to go copy what I do. But if you watch the other people bullhorning, because I would take a break, you know, I'd go for like 20 minutes and then stop for five. We'd hand the bullhorn to somebody, and when I'm talking, you hear every word of it. 9/11 is an inside job. Investigate 9/11. Google inside job. You know, I would say each one about 10 times to make sure people could go, what is he saying? And then listen and then write it down. It was to get a message over, not just have. So they're culture jamming out there. By the way, you've got Nick's cell phone. They're out there on site. We can actually direct them from here, Trey can, on where to put their signs. They keep cutting away with the cameras so that people can't see, investigate 9/11, expose the 9/11 cover-up. I don't know where MSNBC is in St. Paul, but I want to find that address. They're going to be live out there for the next 4 hours. Get out there. Take it over again. Yes! I love it. And please... Here's an example. Luke's a smart guy, great guy. But Luke's saying, we are change, we are change. And sure enough, people thought that it was a Barack Obama group. And I said, no. I said, add .org to the end of that. And so it's not me telling you what to do. I just am telling you from my perspective, when you go give speeches, complex speeches on a bullhorn, anything past, hey, hey, ho, ho, the New World Order's got to go, he gets lost because you've got Kay Bailey Hutchinson again. We've already taken over once when she was on there. And the talking heads, and they're both blabbering, and they're turning their mics up, and they're trying to talk right into their mics, and they're trying to show that we can't get our message across. One thing gets across. That's repetitive statements. Now, if MSNBC just stood down, turned their mics off, or stop talking themselves and put a mic out of the crowd, then I would say, ladies and gentlemen, governments throughout history have staged events, staged terror attacks, provocations to mobilize their population behind empire. In other cases, governments stage horrible crimes or terror attacks to blame it on domestic minorities they wish to oppress or dominate or blame problems in the economy on. Please visit Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or watch for free right now on Google Video, Terror Storm, Truth Rising, and other films. Again, free, any of you that have a computer, Terror Storm, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. Then I would be able to, but no, if I've got three or four or five talking heads talking over me, I'm trying to talk over them. What is the one thing that will cut across it and make people pay attention? What's that guy repeating? Hold on. And then you can't, we tried it here. You can't help but listen to what's being repeated. Then you tune out what they're saying and you hear it all. Oh, investigate 9/11. I'd say that 10 times. Then I'd say, Google inside job. Google inside job. Google inside job. I would say it slow, too, so that it wouldn't get caught with them talking over it, where you could hear the total of what was happening. Can somebody call Nick? We already had him on today. If you guys have the number, listen, I am it to John Harmon at the network, because what's going to happen is that we're going to just bumble around here. How dare you, Aaron, not work hard enough? You're now into hour 30. I'm joking. I said, how dare you not work harder? You're into hour 30. Just I am John Harmon, Nick's number. Instead of them, Nick, bumbling around or whatever, because he's in the middle of a protest, we can't blame him, I'd bumble around. Get him to give that information right now to John Harmon. It's been going on for 10 minutes. The point is that I want to get the guys that are out there bullhorning live right now. Instead of this going on any further, John, just call.
Calling Nick right now.
Oh, you're calling Nick right now. Good. I get all in the fever of the fog of InfoWar and get kind of crazed here. Sorry. Anyway, should I get up there and say, look at the PNAC documents. Dick Cheney said they needed a pretext, a new Pearl Harbor. You're not going to understand that over five talking heads talking over you. But if you say 9/11 was an inside job. 9/11 was an inside job, and say it 8 more times, or Google inside job, Google inside job, or say 10 or 15 times, investigate 9/11, investigate 9/11. I'm telling you how to culture jam these guys. I mean, because I've been to these live events. You give a speech, I learn by, trial and error. You go give one of these events. You go have one of these events. And that's what's happening right now. You don't give simple, direct, inside job, inside job, inside job. All you're doing is screwing up their broadcast, and it's pointless. There is no point in screwing up their transmission unless it is to say, stop the 9-11 cover-up. Stop the 9-11 cover-up. Let's go to Nick. We are Change up there in Minnesota, in St. Paul. Where are you right now specifically? Where is MSNBC so we can get some more Patriots out there?
Yeah, we are live at Landmark Plaza and Rice Park in St. Paul. MSNBC is broadcasting live outside. Interesting enough, our state senator, Amy Klobuchar, just got on stage.
Say it. Listen. Three times, Nick. That's a good chant. Nick, repeat where you are. The park, where you are again.
Rice Park, the corner of Fifth Street and Washington in St. Paul.
Okay, plug that again for people that may not have heard it.
All right, Fifth Street and Washington.
Fifth Street and Washington, where?
In St. Paul.
Fifth Street and Washington in St. Paul. No excuses. Go to Google. Get down there now. They're going to be broadcasting for hours. Now, I'm not going to tell you guys what to do, but we're watching it on TV, and most of those chants aren't getting out. You say there's a bullhorn there?
They've told us if we use a bullhorn, we're kicked out. We've already been warned about that.
Kicked out? Who told you that?
The police.
Okay, so they're not like Denver. They're trying to violate you. Okay, if you all together cup your hands over your mouth and chant 9/11 was an inside job 10 times in a row and then say investigate, and the reason it sounds mindless, but then it'll get across TV and people will go, what are they saying? It's the repetition, and you got to catapult the propaganda like Bush said, and then you can, people will actually tune into that chant. They will ignore what I'm hearing on TV is just a bunch of noise. The signs look great, so I commend all of you. You got guts. Guts is enough. You're taking action. I salute you. You're the best. But, I mean, can we get some inside job chance going here?
Yeah, I'll work on that right now. Stay with me here. All right.
Everyone's going 9/11 inside job chance simultaneously. Alex Jones and the whole show tuning in right now. I'm here on the phone.
9/11 was an inside job. 9/11 was an inside job. 9/11 was an inside job.
Absolutely. All right. So you're watching us live, Alex?
Yeah, well, I was watching you live out in the. Are they live right now? Let's keep giving the guys reports. They're live right now, right? Yes.
And
they are live right now, guys? My new studio's actually got a live cable in, and I never allowed one before. Yeah, they're live. Do it again. 9/11 was an inside job. Yeah, do your job's not a good one because they won't understand that. People won't. That new do your job one really drives me up the wall. Please have them say, Google inside job, Google inside job, Google inside job.
I'm on the phone. I can't talk to the media right now.
Hey, Kemper Marley.
All right, Alex.
Now, you can talk to the media if you need to. You're doing a great job, Nick. Tell us how long you've been out there.
Well, we were with the Kevin Barrett and Tim Fletcher march at the Capitol, and we marched down here to Rice Park. There's a group of probably 30 to 50 of us, I'm not sure.
Well, here's what's happened. The police have tried to stop your First Amendment with a bullhorn. I guarantee you the media wants to come out and act like the public's for Obama or McCain and have some fight. Do you have Obama supporters and McCain supporters grabbing at your signs trying to stop you? It looks like that watching the live feed.
Yep. They are.
So you do have the rat bastards trying to stop your First Amendment. We need more people to get down there right now. I'm going to skip this break for InfoWars.com stream listeners with Nick. Minnesota change up there. Ohio, Iowa change. Wisconsin change. All those great men and women out there. They need your help right now. This will be going for 3 more hours. Get in your car. I don't care if you're in Wisconsin. Get your butt down there to that park right now and you scream as loud as you can. We'll form a physical bullhorn.
On September.
Let me talk to him. Hey, Nick.
Still with you.
Nick, we need more. I need you guys to stay down there for hours, and you'll get more people to physically. I mean, if you had 50 more, you'll be louder than a bullhorn as long as everybody cups their hands. If people cup their hands and aim it at them and scream 9/11's an inside job 10 times in a row, Google inside job, Infowars.com, WeAreChange.org, you will effectively take over the enemy operation.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Right now what they do is every other break they're switching sides of the side that they're on, so we got to constantly keep moving back and forth around the stage.
Yeah, you're defeating the enemy, don't worry.
Yep. There was something I was going to add. People listening in, get down here. We need your support. We need your voices.
All right, give folks the address again.
It is Washington and 5th Street.
In St. Paul.
At Wright's Park.
At Wright's Park?
Yes.
Wright's, like the Wright brothers?
Wright's, like the food.
Rice, as in Chinese food. Rice Park at Washington and what?
5th Street.
Washington 5th. Okay, I've got that right. Well, good job. I guess they're not live right now?
They just went to commercial, and they're switching sides of the stage.
Okay, you guys move around, hit them hard. We'll check in with you at the end of the show. Good job, Nick.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Yeah, folks, if the Orwellian stuff can't get any worse, I'm completely blown away right now. I mean, these are the type of news stories I haven't even gotten to yet today. Israeli Mossad let Nazi Mengele get away. We're going to cover that coming up when we come out of break. And also, sudden death after arrest may be new syndrome. When they jump on your head and break your neck, or when they taser you and you die, they have got quack doctors to say, oh, there's a new syndrome. When you're tasered, it's not the taser. It's a new syndrome that they're scared and they're dying. Now, remember that they claim a new syndrome made Tower 1, 2, and 7 fall. First, it was fire and fuel oil and bad building. And then they said, no, it was thermal expansion, a new syndrome. So soon, if a cop walks up and shoots you 5 times in the head, blows your brain completely out, you just got skin flapping, they'll say, oh, he died of a syndrome. We're going to electroshock you repeatedly over and over again. We'll throw you off a bridge, and if you die, it's a new syndrome. And, oh my God, it says there's been 60-plus deaths in one city of Spain alone, and the police say it's a new syndrome. It's a syndrome dying in the jails, and the public will believe it. Oh, it's a syndrome. When you're tasered and die, it's a syndrome. Did I tell you, Paul? Paul, come on in here. I want you live on air right now. Let's bring Paul Hartman in here today for his debut on air with us, doing a lot of our IT work here, doing a great job. Found Paul doing producer work over at KLBJ. He also works for KI, producing a morning show and running cameras. We're going to come back live here in just a moment to the full audience. And I want to hear what you have to say about the new syndrome. You know, if I was to beat you in the head with a hatchet, and it wouldn't be the hatchet killing you, it's a syndrome. Did you know that, Paul?
No. Thanks for letting me know, man.
Absolutely. In fact, we need to. Go punch it up. The problem is when you have your camera controller out of the room in studio, then you can't be switching cameras. I want you to see Paul Hartman. Okay, bring me back in live. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, let's do this.
Since the prehistoric ages. All right, this is how dumb the establishment thinks we are. They grabbed that woman in one airport, had her handcuffed behind her back, killed her in the jail cell, and then claimed she hung herself with her handcuffs, which is impossible. Turned out they killed her. The Polish guy has been locked in there for 30-something hours in Canada. He throws a fit, throws a trash can over. They come and taser him a bunch, jump on his head with his knees, break his neck. And they said, look, his broken neck and the tasers didn't kill him. It's a new syndrome. And there have been thousands of deaths now after being shocked with different stun gun systems. And they now say, no. Actually, it's a new syndrome. And I'm not kidding. Then the police came out and said, actually, tasers are good for your heart. And Taser hired a doctor to say that tasers are actually good for your heart. But the new thing is, with 60-plus deaths following police detention, this is where they beat you to death in the jail cell, it's a new syndrome. They're not murdering you. You're not dying in mass. You're not, don't tase me, bro, you know. And pretty soon they'll taser you and say it doesn't exist. It's a conspiracy theory. They think you're so dumb, they'll tell you Russia attacked Georgia when they didn't. They'll tell you that they're WMDs in Iraq. They'll tell you aspartame is good. I wanted to bring in one of our new IT guys doing a great job. We're hiring. And by the way, I'm about to put out a public announcement for people to send in resumes who want to be IT around here. So you can send those to Mike@Infowars.com. Hartman, if you go out and the cop beats you to death, it's not the cop beating you with a belly club or the taser. It's a new syndrome, Paul.
It's kind of like that guy that got hogtied and duct taped around his whole head and then committed suicide by jumping off.
That's right. And I forgot the Islamic Center locally. His imam did call me last week before I left, and I forgot to call him back. I'll call him today. And yeah, they gave him to him. He'd been tortured all over, sliced up. And the police said, no. You tie yourself and slice yourself open and throw yourself in the lake. It's quite normal.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Just nobody really cared about it. You know.
Well, it's a conspiracy theory. There's no government corruption. The government's perfect. Everything's fine. And if you don't agree with that, you're with Al-Qaeda. This is out of Reuters. A young man who dies suddenly after being arrested by the police. Oh, maybe victims of a new syndrome. Oh. And again, it's a new syndrome that made Building 7 fall, never before seen, called thermal expansion. Similar to one that kills wild animals when they are captured, Spanish researchers said on Tuesday. So, yeah, a rabbit may die. They've already said this in the U.S. A rabbit might. But no, we're not pigeons or rabbits. And no, humans have never done this unless they were elderly. But now young men and young women die after being tasered or beaten. Mikhail Martinez Shells of Madrid's hospital reached the conclusion after investigating 60 cases of sudden unexplained deaths in Spain following police detention. Kind of like they started giving babies vaccines, they started dying of convulsions. They say you shook them, and then they jail you for the vaccine killing your baby. In one-third of the cases, death occurred at the point of arrest. Oh, while in the remainder, death was in 24 hours. In the jail cell, though, nothing happened behind the scenes. Because he's believing the police, so he's saying, yeah, there's a new phenomenon. You die when they get you. 60 of them in one city. Celis told the annual meeting of the European Society of Cardiology. So and just in the U.S. they've announced it's these heart attacks just happen. It's not the tasers, Paul.
It's just crazy to me how people just they want to hide under the blankets. I don't understand why folks just don't want to see the truth come out of the darkness. And
why are you conspiracy theorists? They're just dying, sir. They're just dying in police custody. It's totally normal. It's a new phenomenon. You just die when you go to jail.
I was always good at that game, Connect the Dots, when I was a little kid.
No, that's Al-Qaeda the dots. It says, just why they died remains a mystery, but he believes young men in particular who smart off, may experience surges of blood levels and chemicals known as catechumenoids when under severe stress. Adrenaline is one of the most abundant And it goes on. We know that when a wild animal is captured, sometimes the animal dies suddenly, he said.
I've never heard of that before.
Well, it actually does happen in prey species. They're kind of designed to shut off and be eaten. Lions, tigers.
Well, how come they don't die in the zoo, then?
Apes don't do this. I mean, we're super predators. I'm not saying we're apes, but you know, generally related to that. The point is that no, we don't. We don't do that unless we're old. Okay, cardiac arrest. No. These are. So Celis compiled a study, the first of its kind in any country, by scouring Spanish newspapers for cases of unexplained death after police detention. Yeah, the cops aren't killing him. Kind of like that guy's neck they broke up in Canada. Well, the broken neck didn't kill him. You didn't know that? He just had some... He was 32 years old. He had a heart attack. He's just mentally ill. He had a problem.
It's the right age for a heart attack.
Yeah, you know.
Mid-30s. We're on the march.
Let's skip the break.
Empire's on...
I mean, seriously, let's bring John Harmon in here. No, stay in here. Stay in here, Paul.
No, awesome.
Keep Paul here in studio with us, doing a great job. Harmon, what about John Harmon up in Minnesota? I think that they found a new phenomenon that makes buildings collapse with small fires. They said never before seen, but in three buildings in one day.
Makes perfect sense.
Have the cops saying, get back, we're being told they're blowing it up, doesn't matter. Have the blast points, the seismographs, the molten steel, thousands of degrees above what kerosene jet fuel burns. And now if they beat you to death, it isn't that, it's a sin. They taser you, they say it's a syndrome here in the U.S. They will sue coroners if they say it was the electroshock. Now they're beefing them up from 50,000 volts to 75,000 volts, I'm sure. The daily taser death toll's okay. John Harmon, you believe this, that it's a new syndrome, don't you?
Oh, yeah, the new syndrome. Oh, yeah, it's going around spreading. You better watch out, you know, just like you're trained by the KGB and also Al-Qaeda and whatever else.
But, I mean, listen, you get pulled over for no driver's license, or you get pulled over with I mean, you know, you just that's actually my microphone. The outside one is mine. I have no audio, Commander. I've lost all audio here.
You can't hear me?
No, John, I can't hear you. I'm going to have to go over there and do it. All right, there we go. Oh, I've got audio back.
There you go.
I figured it out.
That's all right. Oh,
I connected the dots right there, you know?
No. That was a syndrome. That wasn't right. You turning down my headphones and I lost audio.
That was the syndrome. Okay,
that was right. A syndrome that suddenly there's a new syndrome where knobs turn themselves down by themselves.
I'm going to get it by the end of this hour.
You're going to learn. There's no government corruption. There's not $4 trillion. Well, there is $4 trillion missing from the Pentagon, but they say that's a syndrome, too. So you got to learn here. Somebody beats you in the head and billy clubs you and tasers you and you die. It wasn't that. It was the syndrome.
Hey, if the shoe fits.
John Harmon, now that I have your audio back, again, tell me more about syndromes. I mean, if you have a car wreck, just tell the cops it's a syndrome.
I forgot my license, sir, but, you know, it's a syndrome, so it's with the times. Just like I was saying before, you're trained by the KGB and Al-Qaeda and, you know, whatever else they want.
And the dollar's strong, and the government never lies to us. And
TV's good.
And Russia attacked Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, Paul Hartman, any final comments on the new syndrome? Sudden death after arrest, maybe new syndrome.
When in Rome. I don't know. I just feel like butchering cliches today.
But let's say you go out and you beat somebody to death, hypothetically, or I do. Mm-hmm. And I come up and I've got a club and the person's in a bloody pool, or I shoot them.
Going to jail?
No, I'll say, officer, it's a syndrome. I mean, let's say I go buy a taser, I taser somebody to death, I taser them 20 times, they die, and then the cops show up and I say, no, officer, it's a syndrome.
You want to do a case study on it?
And, I mean, maybe they've got to play along with the false reality. I bet they'll say, okay, you're free to go. This guy this 15-year-old just died of a heart attack. It's a syndrome.
Just show them the article when they...
All right, well, let's come back right now to the full audience. Stay there. You're not leaving.
All right,
awesome.
Make you sit in here now.
Feels good.
Look at him out there. Hour 30-plus. Aaron working feverishly. He is
amazing.
An absolutely awesome creature.
Half man, half amazing.
Half man, half amazing. That's Aaron Dykes. To get serious here, Aaron is amazing, but I was just talking about the behind-the-scenes for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and Infowars.com streams where we skip the break sometimes. If Paul Hartman, our new IT guy, if he was, yes, he really exists. People thought I was making that up. Here he is on TV right now, see? If Paul was to go out and buy a taser and you tasered somebody 15, 20 times and they died, when the cops show up, just say it's a syndrome. He did not die from the taser. And Taser will sue anybody that, you know, that or any medical examiner that says there's been thousands of cases, you know, says that death by taser all over the world, over 500 down in the U.S., they say that isn't real. And they have their own doctors that say it's a syndrome. But see, now the syndrome's spreading to where they kill 60 people in Madrid. And the cops kill young men, and they're not killing them. It's a syndrome. So like I said, next time if you ever get mad, and anybody out there, you ever shoot your wife, ever shoot your husband, they got a bloody bullet hole in them or taser darts in them, just say it's a syndrome. I mean, Paul, this is a great new system. If you're, listen, the demolition companies are out of business. All you got to do is set a few small fires in any steel skyrise. It'll collapse perfectly with a better implosion in on itself than a $10 million controlled demolition.
I think we should stop all the AIDS and cancer research we're doing and just go straight into syndrome research, because if it keeps on going on the pace that it's going on right now, we're done.
Well, it's like sudden death. And, of course, all the real studies say the vaccines are killing the babies. You know, you take them in for their second, third round of shots. Sometimes newborn, they get, you know, 10 shots. They die of a convulsion. The brain, it has inflammation. The hospital's got to cover that up. But why not just kill the parent's child? Why, when you can bring them up on the news and have the woman crying, saying she's innocent, and the cops say, "We'll go easy on you. Don't you remember shaking them?" And they go, "I guess." Okay, you're only getting 5 years in prison, bitch. And I'm sorry, that's how it works. So we're not only gonna kill your baby, we're gonna send you to prison because it's a syndrome. You shook her. You shook the baby, woman. But the baby started having a convulsion on the way home from the hospital from the shots. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Minute. Yeah, it's ironic. I've been meaning to tell you about this. About 2 weeks ago, me and my wife had a crucial, intense argument about the whole vaccine. And I was like, you know what? This is right after the day you were going off on the HPV thing. You were playing the commercial.
Oh, I mean, I have the British Medical Journal and hundreds yeah. other here is admitting it's giving you diabetes. I mean, it's so wonderful.
Yeah, and I was just like, hey, well, you know, let's talk about this whole HPV bit, you know, because I've been learning a lot.
I punched my hand too hard. Ow. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, and, you know, then her mom got in the mix and she's a nurse. And of course, I don't know anything compared to her. And I'm sitting there.
Well, what about the British Medical Journal? You want to bring her that one?
Well, I even said, I was like, well, what if I was to show you medical journals saying that this leads to that? You know, would you still be gung ho about the whole HPV vaccine bit and everything? And then, you know, I threw in the whole Perry's wife.
Yeah, they've been paid
financial
off. And it's also, what about them killing a bunch of people?
Yeah. I mean, well, the whole money trail thing was way
more. I mean, it's killing
government.
A bunch of people, and it's causing diabetes.
Yeah, you know, and not.
But that's just not just that shot. And so your wife.
Well, think of the quandary I'm in now. I got my 3-year-old daughter. I got another one on the way. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
Well, they don't say inject them until they're 11 or 12 because they don't think it'll be too obvious if it kills them too quick.
So I got about 9 more years to convince
her.
Well,
here's what you convince your wife of. She's going to be told it's a law to take all these. You just go show her there is no law. And honey, even if this is good, why are they hoaxing and lying and saying it's the law, you've got to take these shots?
It's going to take a while to get through to my old lady, man. I don't know. It's she's just like everybody else.
Just like a woman gets in the car with Ted Bundy. She's got a young.
Yeah, it's kind of like when I was about the guy that jumped off the bridge after he hogtied himself and everything. You know, I'm talking to just normal people, regular, not on air people at my job. And I'm like, yo, this doesn't sound fishy at all. I mean, come on now. You can't hogtie yourself and then write.
And you're at KI where you guys heard the first scan reports. Cops fished him out and said he'd been murdered. But then the official story came in.
That's just crazy. I don't even know. And, you know, I just want to know what's real. You know, that's all it is. Like,
well, no. Listen, he tied himself and tortured it, sliced his body open and sliced his arms and legs open and pulled his intestines out. I mean, he did it himself. And the government says so. So everything's fine. It's a syndrome. It's a syndrome.
I'm telling you, stop the AIDS research, and we got to get on this syndrome, man.
Well, here's the deal. You need to explain to your wife, God bless her, and you need to protect those children. And I understand. You know, look, Charlie Sheen's wife basically divorced him over the vaccine issue. I mean, they're nuts. They explained to her that 50 years ago there were only 3 or 4. Now there's 60-something they want to give a baby. Explain to her that they lied about mercury being in it And then now they admit it's in it, and they admit, the federal government admits it gave them autism, and it's still in there. And then show Herb how autism's gone from 1 in 20-something thousand to now 1 in 86. Okay, I mean, give her the data and explain to her the British Medical Journal and the American Medical Journal and all these other journals, they are more prestigious than the nurse. But see, that nurse is injecting people all day because that's the policy. So she's going to rationalize that what she's doing is good. And they're all on these power trips. Ask this nurse. Is that the mother-in-law? Ask the nurse, say, do you have a health department computers there, don't you? And you get people to report on themselves, and it's all jacked into the government without their due process. And she'll then start thinking, going, yeah, whatever happened to America? See, they've been put in these petty jail guard positions, school teachers, nurses, and they're all little jail guards. They think it's real funny. Like when you have your baby, doesn't matter if the mama-in-law is a nurse. Notice that the nurse will say, honey, Paul, take this downstairs for me. Have you had that happen? I mean, do you remember? Take this file downstairs for me. And they go, tell me, is he beating you? No. Well, do you have enough money? You say you don't have enough money. They're going to try to snatch your kids. This is the hardcore criminal. But see, they've been told by higher-ups and authority figures. They did Stanford research. Yale also did it, where they found over 90% of people, if ordered by a professor in an experiment, would murder people. You know, they did those mock jails. And they found that in one study, it was like 96, other was 94. You can pull these up. They found that people would believe they were murdering someone, but because the school ordered it and a guy in a uniform ordered it, they would commit the murder. Now, these are graduate students. So you understand, I'm not saying your mother-in-law is bad, but she's incrementally been phased into where she's now a eugenics officer on the command deck, hurling death left and right. And they just don't know. See, I mean, that's how inculcated it is, Paul. I mean, I've got literally hundreds of... Here. Watch this right now. I will go online and I will type vaccines, diabetes. How do you spell vaccines?
V-A-C-I-N-E-S.
I always spell it so bad that it...
Two C's.
Okay, two C's. That's what I... Okay, vaccines. Look, it says autism. No, it's... I want vaccines and diabetes. Don't laugh at my spelling there.
Hey, but you can't die from... you can die from diabetes, but, it's not bad as...
Well, see, I looked at studies. People are drinking as much sugar and processed sugars as we were 20 years ago. In fact, people are actually drinking less. In many of the studies, depending on the region, the South's actually worse. We drink even more now than people used to. But the point is, why then is diabetes going up thousands of percentage points every... Why is lung cancer up sixfold in women in one decade, though smoking's down? And this is in young women, because it's in particular vaccines. They put the stuff in there, man. You can't get these yuppies to admit it. They got to die first.
So there's a vaccine out there giving people lung cancer?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Most of the eugenics is targeting women.
Wow.
That's why most of these women are sterile now. They just get the men.
Oh man, why don't...
Listen, I can show you this. I can show you all of it. Like, I can't sleep at night knowing this stuff. It's all right here. Okay, I typed in vaccines, diabetes, 2,170,000 hits. Okay. Now, let me go through this. NCCN vaccine immunization dangers. I mean, it's all mainstream news here.
I don't get why the New World Order hates women so much.
Because they create babies. They always tell them how much they love them. The point is that I'm looking at the American Journal, British journals, Chinese journals, Japanese journals. I'm looking at WebMD. I mean, it's all mainstream in study after study after study after study after study. And it says why. It's causing an autoimmune inflammation in every gland and organ in the body. Your heart swells up. Your brain swells up. Your pancreas swells up. And it's a very delicate organ.
All right, well, let me play devil's advocate for 2 seconds. And why, if maybe the rationale is, well, you'd rather have diabetes than smallpox or... You know, the mumps or what?
Well, you can debate. See, here's the deal. You can debate whether they're doing it on purpose or whether they just don't care and let this stuff happen. And the evidence is they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it all. Listen, they have caught over 100 vaccine makers of a tetanus shot that the UN buys from. That's the payoff to the country, is they manufacture it there and then pay more than what it's worth, a very expensive female hormone that's only secreted at the start of the second trimester, which then attacks the baby, the gland shuts down, they have a violent miscarriage, and then it causes chronic inflammation in that particular gland. Now, over 100 manufacturers accidentally add a female hormone that is not involved in any of the production parameters. They are adding it, brother. Because, see, if you add that hormone, and I've had medical doctors on talk about this, is mainstream news. If you add that hormone to the tetanus pathogen, it then creates an autoimmunity to the hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And these women don't know, and they have abortion after abortion after abortion. The second trimester starts, 3 months, boom, that baby dies. Now, in some villages, they come, like in Thailand and other places, it's all on video. I've posted it on InfoWars and Prison Planet.
What are you saying?
Police pull up while you're pregnant and inject the women, and the women say, "I feel the baby. It starts having convulsions in me." Uh-huh. Then the baby dies, and I have miscarriage next day. And the troops come in, all U.S. funded, pull in injectors. The women run. They chase them like Planet of the Apes into the woods. This is black ops, brother. This is the real world, man. This is hell force.
That's rough.
And you got all these yuppies making jokes, and all these people think it's real funny. It isn't funny, ladies and gentlemen. And then it doesn't matter. People are lying about me and attacking me in the mainstream news, the Patriot Movement, everybody. I don't know why everybody's so jealous of me. I'm just somebody who studies this and talks about it and covers it, and it's so depressing I can't hardly do it anymore.
Hey, man, that's jealousy is one of the, that's just a basic human emotion.
I know, but enemies always make crap up about you in the media, the alternative media, to then demonize you so they can carry out their criminal acts.
But the way that they're winning is, you can't let them.
No.
They're winning if you just let them deter you.
Nothing's deterring me. My point is, it freaks me out because we're under biochemical radiological attack.
There is
no doubt of it. I am totally freaked out about this, and it's just a side issue of then Michelle Malkin hates me and wants to put me in a camp, and these other people run around, and a lot of them really think they're doing good. I mean, it's crazy, man.
If you just keep on keeping on, you'll be all right, man. Trust me.
But I'm not all right because I know they're killing these women and children all around me. I know they're a bunch of bastards. It totally freaks me out that they've got your wife under their control, and I'm sure your wife's a smart person. I'm not knocking her. I know she's a good person, and because she's not evil, she's judging the world according to how she operates. And that's why they win.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, when you put it in terms like that, there's only one thing you can do, is that's just, put your faith in, your creator, and that's all I can do is,
I agree. So that's what I said to the police. I get into petty stuff. I bash you. I do things I might not. I mean, I understand you got tough jobs. My point is, evil forces are running this country. You're being used, and they're shooting your kids up with cancer viruses, too. And you're drinking deadly fluoride. And I just want you to listen to me. I want you to check out what I'm saying and find out I'm telling you the truth.
You're good. Slowly but surely, people are realizing that, and the only way I feel that I can do anything about it is to just be a good father to my kids and lead them in the right direction.
Well, you are good.
And I'm hoping, and hopefully you keep on doing what you're doing, and all those mothers and fathers will get that in their head and, maybe lead by example. And
I mean, exactly. But these vaccines just ravage people. They just ravage them.
Man, one of these days, everything will come full circle.
Hell,
it
came out that Bayer, for a decade, sent out over 100 million ampules of factor VIII, which every one of them had HIV and hepatitis in it, and it killed hundreds of thousands of people. I see you freaking out there. Let me type in factor VIII Bayer. Watch this. Factor VIII. How do you spell Bayer?
B-A-Y-E-R.
There you go. Factor VIII Bayer. Bayer Biological Products. This is their sales pitch area. Wikipedia. Now, this is something where they've really tried to keep it out of the top. Recombinant factor. Let's click video. I've got an MSNBC report. Surprised it's not in the top ones. They're really covering this up. Bayer exposed HIV contaminated vaccine. Now listen to this right here, folks. This is MSNBC. I'm going to play it right now. Oh, God, it's not playing.
talk about the rat of the week. Why is Bear Corporation the rat of the week?
Internal documents.
I'm going to start it over.
The show. We appreciate you being on tonight.
Thanks for the invitation, Joe.
Okay, let's talk about the rat of the week. Why is Bear Corporation the rat of the week?
Internal documents show that after this company positively, absolutely knew that they had a medication that was infected with the AIDS virus, they took the product off the market in the U.S. and then they dumped it in France, Europe, Asia, and Latin America. The medicine's called Factor VIII. It was an injection medicine that was used for hemophiliacs, mostly children. Children had been born with an incurable
disease. Hold on, Mike. So hold on. So you're telling me that Bayer knew that this drug was infected with the AIDS virus. They yanked it from the market in America, and then they dumped it in markets overseas?
They had to figure out a way, Joe, to make a profit on a product that they could not sell in America. So they made a huge profit. They dropped the product in Japan, Spain, and France. By the way, Joe, government officials in France that allowed
it's
that to happen.
It's cold-blooded right there.
All right. Yeah, well, here's the deal. I've got to get a laptop that doesn't sound like a helicopter taking off. Just Google Factor VIII Bayer. And I know you're laughing, cops. I know it's funny. You work for the system. Ha ha. You know, you got a million dead people here. Probably more. But by the way, they're just mentioning the AIDS. It's full of hepatitis, everything else. See, they don't care. See, it's the illegal aliens with the trichinosis killing everybody in Austin now. Notice how they keep that real quiet, but everybody knows a neighbor who's gotten sick. See, it's all kept real quiet, and the leprosy's kept real quiet. Now, am I against the illegal aliens? No, the point is they've got to be medically tested. But the government says, give up all your rights, the terrorists are going to get you. Meanwhile, we have plagues upon us. They don't care. It's all eugenics. It's all about bankrupting the state medical systems so the feds can come in and fully federalize under government health care. You will be forced to take vaccines, all of you. This is a murdering government. I want you to know, people laughing, when your child's dying, I'm trying to stop that, but you're laughing. When you're dying, before your time, remember, we tried to warn you. We tried to save you, but you had to love your masters. You had to lick their boots. We're going to skip this break, too, at InfoWars.com on those streams. Okay, Paul, I'm going to keep you in here a little bit more. So tell me, see, anything I say, I can pull up right now here. Anything I tell you.
I got you.
In fact, many times worse than MSNBC. Anything I'm telling you is in triplicate. Believe me, I wish this wasn't true. I wish none of this was true. You know, do you think these killers like me? They haven't killed me because I'm so spot on. They don't want people to go look at what I've said. They want to hit me with COINTELPRO and disinformation from 1,000 different angles, which is fine. I can take that. The point is, viewers out there need to know I'm under attack because I understand their program.
I mean, it's sad. I don't know. It's like I know something is up, you know, no disrespect, you know, I love you to death, but, you know, I can't say I fully buy in to 100% of everything, but I know that something is going on.
Like, well, but see, it gets a lot deeper.
I mean,
how would a company for a decade knowingly ship HIV-filled drugs to everybody?
Yeah, that's just cold.
But it isn't just about profit. Bayer was involved with the Nazis. So was IBM. It's eugenics. You heard that top academic we just had on talking about it's all a eugenics plan. They know the GMO is hurting you. They know it's poisoning. It's all by design.
Hey, I hope this doesn't sound too stupid, but when my freshman year in college, I learned something about an oligopoly or
oligopoly. Yeah.
Isn't that illegal?
And it's a cartel or consortium, yeah.
So, like, isn't that all the illegal, like Bayer and IBM being owned, you know, all these big corporations that you're saying are...
They're called cartels, yeah.
being owned by the same people. So isn't that itself illegal, or am I wrong, or you're not...
Yes, but the laws are only made for us, the slaves.
All right.
Okay, the laws are only for us. They're not for the elites, Paul.
Well, how do you get to be one of those elites? You got to go to Harvard and be in the...
No, most of those are low, but why would you want... You would want to be one of them, would you?
No.
I mean, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Would you give your eyes up? If I offered you $10,000 to go have a surgery right now to have your eyes taken out, would you do it?
Why would I do that?
I'm asking you, would you sell me your eyes for $10,000? Be blind.
Nah.
Would you do it for $100,000?
No, I mean...
A million.
No.
10 million.
There's no need to have... I mean, if I had that money and I didn't have any sight, then I wouldn't be able to enjoy it.
Exactly. So, eyes are the window of the soul. what would you give your soul for? Nothing. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? There is no amount of money the New World Order can give you to sell out to them. There is no amount of money for to get power and control, because you do lose more than just your sight. You lose your soul. These people have lost their soul, and then evil is the only thing that's beautiful for them. Thanks for coming in, bro.
All right. Thanks.
Good job. You bet. That's Paul Hartman in here, ladies and gentlemen. And everybody's at different levels of deprogramming. You know, he's deprogramming his wife. We're deprogramming him. You could see him arrive. He stood I just asked Paul in the behind the scenes for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. He was like joking, saying, how do you become one of these elite? And I said, well, you lose your soul. And then here's the question I asked him. Would you, if I said, Paul, I'll give you $10,000 right now to go down to a clinic and have your eyes removed and give me your eyes. And I said, would you do it? He said, no. I said, 100,000, a million, 10 million. He said, no amount of money. I couldn't enjoy it. And I said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? I mean, nothing could, there's no amount of money that you would give up your sight, would you? And that's only a window into your soul, only one way you interface the world around you. So then you understand what it means to truly commit to evil. Then you understand what it is to commit to the New World Order and go along with all this stuff. Do not give up who you are. Do not give up your identity. Do not give up your soul. Do not give up your moral standing. Do not ever give in to evil, because it's a slippery slope. You got to stand for something, like Aaron Tippin says. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You'll lose your sight. You'll lose your soul. You'll lose your discernment. You'll be turned over to evil. Evil people aren't that smart. They're just cunning and wicked and working their own little gangs of corruption and delusion. I don't want delusion or illusion. I want reality. I need your help, too, listeners. I need to make Fabled Enemies a big movie. It's a powerful film that needs to be seen, and it supports Burmese. But it needs to be a big film because it's controversial, it's powerful, it exposes who really carried out 9/11, how it was done. It's available at InfoWars.com right now, or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. I'm forgetting which button's the cough button and which button is the video button. Oh, man. 888-253-3139, or write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Please watch it on PrisonPlanet.tv right now with all my other films and the hundreds of TV reports I've done and special reports and extra sneak peeks and hour-plus extras to films, thousands of pieces of media, 4.5 years up and running, PrisonPlanet.tv, or get the DVD at InfoWars.com. And then the last bit of help I need from all of you is video, Kill Michelle Malkin Hoax Exposed. Video, Kill Michelle Malkin Hoax Exposed. It's in the featured news area of InfoWars.com. Aaron stayed up all last night without me asking him to. I asked him to make the film. It's a 10-minute piece. It shows how they set it up, how they provocateured, what really happened, who was really violent, who really said kill Michelle Malkin. They're trying to create this as a story in the legend of who I am, that I punched her in the face, that I said kill her, that I had guys with me trying to kill her, that I knocked her teeth out and drug her, and I mean, it's all over the web. It's just expanding, that I jumped on a 100-pound woman and was throttling her. This is the type of stuff that's being put out. Really, she said the Marines didn't kill that puppy. She's 100 times bigger than, I would add. But I didn't touch her. I didn't do anything to her. I didn't say kill her. The video exposing the hoax, discrediting them, is up on InfoWars.com right now. We've turned the tide against them. We've gotten a Dallas Morning News retraction, but that isn't enough. Please get Michelle Malkin, Hoax Exposed, InfoWars.com. It's also up on PrisonPlanet.com. Please post it on your YouTube page, your MySpace. Please give it to your email list. Help us expose this creature and her cohorts, her lying little buddies that tried to set me up and get me jailed for saying kill her and hitting her. Incredible first 3 hours, about to retransmit one place on the web. We'll be right back after this one-minute break at InfoWars.com. You got to go to InfoWars.com to hear that streams for all the big guests. God bless you all.